Good Wednesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Another semi-decent day today before it'll cloud up and rain will start. Looking for partly to mostly cloudy sky, showers towards evening. And tomorrow is going to be a very rainy day, and into Friday, possibly even Saturday, we will see shower activity. 77 for our high temp today. Right now it's partly cloudy. We have 61 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the north at 5 miles an hour. A West Fargo man serving life in prison without the possibility of parole in the beating death of his wife 2 years ago went before the North Dakota Supreme Court to appeal his case. The attorney for Spencer Moen argued the district court violated his Sixth Amendment right by not allowing Moen to be confronted with the witnesses against him. Those witnesses were his two young children who testified via Zoom after behavioral experts said it would cause trauma to the kids to have to testify in front of their dad. The justices did not issue a ruling in the case. No word on when a decision will be made. A somber night at NDSU as roughly 1,000 students and supporters gathered for a candlelight vigil honoring Charlie Kirk. The event hosted by the NDSU chapter of Turning Point USA featured prayer and song in memory of the conservative leader who was assassinated last week during a speech in Utah. Kirk, the founder of Turning Point, was remembered for his passion and influence on young conservatives. His funeral is set for Sunday in Arizona. A local political science professor is weighing in on the current climate in the wake of the Charlie Kirk assassination. MSUM's Dr. Barbara Hedrick spoke to our partners at Valley News Live. Hedrick also blames social media algorithms that are not feeding broader information to people. A Bureau of Indian Affairs officer was justified in using deadly force in a 2017 incident in Fort Yates, North Dakota. Federal appeals court affirmed a lower court ruling that officers were justified in using deadly force against George Gipp Jr. He was shot and killed at a gas station after he resisted arrest and was seen with what authorities thought was a gun. Court found the use of deadly force was reasonable given the circumstances leading up to its use. A Democrat has won a special election to fill the seat of murdered Minnesota lawmaker Melissa Hortman. XP Lee beat Republican challenger Ruth Bittner yesterday. State House of Representatives will now have an even party split. Hortman, the former Speaker of the House, was shot and killed alongside her husband in June. Cannabis shops off tribal land in Minnesota can now open legally. Green Goods started offering recreational products at all 8 of its shops yesterday, including Moorhead. Business previously was one of only 2 licensed medical cannabis providers in the state. And airline boardings are up across North Dakota. The state saw its highest number of monthly passenger boardings ever last month. More than 112,000 people flew in August, surpassing the previous high set last August by 5%. 7 of the state's airports also had higher passenger numbers compared to last year. 5:03, time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jace Denman. You guys had a volleyball game last night that you called, right?
It's called a volleyball match.
Well, okay, whatever.
Just act like you know what you're talking about, Bonnie.
I do know about volleyball. Volleyball match, okay.
Yes, we did last night, and there was a lot of volleyball action going on last night as I'm trying to find that score from one of the WNBA games last night. Across North Dakota, Fargo North beat Grand Forks Red River in 4 sets. Fargo Davies swept Grand Forks Central. Shanley beat South in 4 sets. West Fargo High, the match we were at, took down West Fargo Horse in 4 sets. 17-25, 25-18, 25-13, and 28-26. Good match last night. It was a lot of fun to be there. Both teams, obviously played pretty good, but obviously they can play even better, you know, as the season goes on. So big win for West Fargo last night. Kindred took down Oak Grove in 4 sets. Central Cass swept Northern Cass. And West Fargo, Cheyenne went across the river, or maybe the Moorhead came across the river, one of the two. Beat them in straight sets, 25-22, 25-15, and 25-21. Over in Minnesota locally, Sauk Rapids Rice beat Detroit Lakes in 3 sets. Holly beat DGF in a sweep. Lake Park Audubon fell to Climax Fisher in a 5-set match. And then another 5-setter, Park Christian, got past Virtual Beltrami last night. Minnesota Twins. Stop me if you've heard this one before.
I'm over them.
They lost to the Yankees last night, 10-9.
They did win the day before, though.
Yeah, they did. Zebby Matthews struggled. He gave up 9 runs over 3 innings and took the loss. Cody Lawyerson gave up 1 run over 2 innings out of the bullpen. Thomas Hatch tossed 2 scoreless innings. All of our offense there. Twins and Yankees conclude their series tonight. First pitch scheduled for 6:40 p.m. Taj Bradley is scheduled to be on the mound for Minnesota. Top-seeded Lynx will get back underway in the WNBA playoffs. Last night, they can wrap up their series against Golden State. That will be available at 9 p.m. on ESPN. The game before that, James got this listed out weird. Game three. Nope. Tonight, oh, there it is. He doesn't have it. He's got like an order, like matchup-wise.
Yeah, he did it differently, yeah.
New York and Phoenix play tonight. That's the early game, 7 p.m. on ESPN. New York leads that series 1-0. They can close that one out against Phoenix. Last night in the WNBA, in the early game, of course my phone would unlock, Indiana Fever got on the board against the Atlanta Dream, 77-60. Obviously, the Fever winning that game is... credit to them. They've lost a couple of their best players. Caitlin Clark out, Sophie Cunningham out. They still find a way to win that one, force a game three. That should be, I believe, on either Thursday or Friday. And then last night in the nightcap, Seattle got a win in their series against the Las Vegas Aces, 86-83. That will move to a game game three coming up on Thursday. Both those matchups from last night, those series will be continued on Thursday night. Minnesota will take on the winner of New York and Phoenix in the next round of the playoffs. So obviously the Lynx would like to take care of business tonight and then let Phoenix and New York go to game three back in Phoenix on Friday night. So we'll see if the Lynx can close it out. They've had good luck against the Valkyries so far this season. I think that was probably one of the best matchups the Lynx could have had heading into the playoffs in the first round. Everybody else that's in the playoffs have beaten the Lynx at some point in time. So next matchup against either New York or Phoenix, that'll be a great series right there. Coming up later this week, football on our sister station, The Flag. First Friday, we're going to have Shanley versus Minot. Kickoff will be at 7 p.m. with James and myself. Then Saturday, we'll head over to Moorhead where the MSUM Dragons will take on Wayne State, 11 a.m. pregame, 12 p.m. kickoff. Dragons trying to beat a Wayne State team they haven't beaten since 2018. And I believe he said they haven't beat him at home since either 16 or 17. So trying to get that win against a team you haven't beaten in a long time and also continue your undefeated start to the season. Over right here on this station, Friday with Larry Knutson, Moorhead will take on Wayzata at home, 6 p.m. kickoff. And then Saturday, Larry will hit the road as he heads down to the cities as the Cobbers take on St. Olaf. I guess since they don't know how to name their teams that start with Saint, they're the Olies. Just like St. Thomas is the Tommies.
Are they really the Olies?
That's what James said last night. That's why I was like.
I never heard that before.
Granted, we have Jamestown, which is kind of similar to a St. James, but they're the Jimmies, so I guess, you know, they just don't care.
I've never heard that before.
That's what he said. I'm not sure. Just what he said.
Not questioning it. It just sounds odd.
Tonight, we're going to have primetime sports from 6:30 to 7 p.m. I know we're talking with head coach Brett Skinner today at 9:30. I would assume that means that Thursday night we are going to push back the interview with FCS Nation host Kevin Marshall to Thursday night, but I believe we'll have a time today to get things set up with him. So that is all in your wide, wide world of sports.
And don't forget, we do pick six on Fridays at 8:10. Was last week the first week, or was that week two?
Week two.
Week two, okay. Mm-hmm. So
first week we had a couple people that picked it perfectly.
Oh.
And last week we had a couple people, the top two I think had four correct because the Gophers got upset, the Vikings got upset, so there was a couple ones there. There were people that were torn on whether to pick Minnesota Duluth or Mankato State in that one. And, yes, I still call them Mankato State at times. Because Mankato was the higher-ranked team heading to Duluth, but Duluth had won the last couple against Mankato, and now they've won, like, three straight against them. So they might just have Mankato's number right now. So
we'll see how this week shakes down. So listen in Friday, 8:10, Big Game James McCarty will be giving us six games to pick. You got to pick the final score of the Vikings game, too, in case we need it for a tiebreaker. And the more the merrier, there's a fine prize to be had for whoever gets the most picks right. Partly to mostly cloudy today. Showers developing towards evening. 77 for our high with winds out of the northeast 10 to 15. Overnight low around 60. Rainy day tomorrow. Cloudy, rainy, cool. Occasional thunder showers also a possibility. Only 69 for the high. Northeast winds 10 to 15. Overnight low around 59. Friday cloudy. Showers continuing. 71 for the high. Southeast winds 10 to 15 with a low of 58. Saturday and Sunday, chance of rain Saturday. Sunday looking dry. Highs right around 70. Right now, it's partly cloudy. We have 61 degrees at our WDAY radio studios. High top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the north, 5 miles an hour. 5:10, we're going to get you updated here on your national news from ABC, then a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. Wednesday morning, welcome in. Thanks for being here. We do appreciate it. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman. We'll have Ken Duffy with your WDAY radio news at the top of the hour. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki joins us after that. And then big game James McCarty with your WDAY radio sports. Question of the morning, do you have a good luck charm or like a routine because you're maybe superstitious that your team might lose or something like that? So good luck charm or a routine that you go through just to keep luck on your side.
Anybody who's a sports fan does something.
Well,
whether they want to admit it or not, that's a whole other story.
Maybe other people have noticed it and you perhaps don't even know you do it. But yeah, you're absolutely right about that. So love to hear the story. 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. 5:21 Wednesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, and you. Thanks for hanging out with us. We do appreciate it. I'll let you guys know day one of my diet went good. Trying to get my... You guys have no idea how much food we ate and like fried food. I'm not normally a fried food person. It kind of upsets my tummy, so yeah. I don't normally eat. There was these amazing spinach, I think they're called spanakopita or something like that, in Greece.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a spinach pie. It's got cheese in there.
Are those the little folded ones, like a triangle?
No, this one was square, and then they cut them in massive wedges.
Oh, yeah, they've got something like spankodia or whatever.
Yeah, that thing.
Spankodia.
Maybe you can shape it differently.
Maybe, because I think those are like hors d'oeuvres or whatever. You can either find at Costco or Walmart or any other place like that.
These were big.
Yeah,
these
I'm sure.
Like 4x4 square.
Yeah, but I bet you they were good, though.
And then I forgot to tell you guys, too, about the most amazing thing. And I Googled recipes. I'm going to have to make this. Moussaka, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tried to do traditional Greek food or traditional Serbian food when we were over there.
Mm-hmm.
This moussaka was amazing. It basically was like lasagna, but instead of having noodles in it, it had potatoes on the bottom. So it had a layer of potatoes and then a ton of like ground meat and spaghetti sauce. Mm-hmm. And then it had eggplant in it too that was cooked down really good. And then like a bechamel or cheese sauce kind of bechamel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if there was cheese on the top. I can't remember. It was... most amazing thing I have ever tasted.
It kind of looks like there'd be a layer of cheese on top. I mean, I've heard of moussaka before.
Have you? I had never heard of it. It was so good.
I'm not sure I've ever had it. I mean, the only time I've really ever had eggplant in my life was when my roommate, who was a vegetarian, would make eggplant parmesan. And there's still a texture thing for me with eggplant.
It depends how you cook it. Like if you cook it down, then it'll be soft, but kind of like a zucchini sort of.
Yeah, it was sliced. He sliced it in big circles, and I don't know.
Yeah,
you couldn't really taste
the eggplant in this dish, but it was so amazing.
But it looks like So I mean, if you've got that filling, is between those two different layers, and so it looks like it'd be pretty decadent. You know,
I'm
especially
make it this winter for us.
Yeah,
how's
that
sound?
And then that sounds good.
Maybe Dean will even get a piece if he's behaving that week.
No, he always likes to try and get a piece.
That's true. It's Dean.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I ate probably triple, every single day, triple what you like normally should eat.
Because
everything was so good and you're only there for a short time
exactly.
And you want to eat all the things.
Well, and that's the thing. If you're going to be someplace, and I mean, I've been out of the country twice. Once when we went on a cruise when I was 23, and then once when we went down to Mexico.
And was that like all inclusive?
That was all inclusive. So that would have been their 45th. So that means I was turning what, 44? Because they got married in 71 in July, and I was born in September of 72. But even there, I mean, yeah, they might have some sort of quote unquote traditional food there in Mexico. But at the same time, since it's a resort that a lot of Americans come to, I'm sure to some extent, it would be a bit of Americanized stuff there. And granted, their buffet that they had that you'd eat at every day was kind of same stuff, different day. But if you went to the specific little restaurants within the resort, like we went to some fish steakhouse or whatever for like the actual anniversary of mom and dad, that had stuff you had to order specifically off the menu. But you know, when you're there, it's one of those things like, look, you're on vacation, so you can do whatever you want eating wise. You know, you should eat what you can while you're there because you're not going to be back.
I know.
You know, for however how long, or you might not ever go back to certain countries.
Well, like I said, I am in de-chubbing mode right now. I'm trying to work on it. Lots of water, coffee,
yeah,
stuff along that line, and walking. We did walk a ton. Like we walked 15 to 20,000 steps every day on top of it, but still, that didn't make up for the amount of food that
it helped. It helped.
Definitely helped.
If you were eating your normal amounts, then yeah, you probably would have been in the old calorie deficit because you put in enough steps. But since you're kind of overeating because you're on vacation, you got to try this, try that. You have these big meals while you're there. It just kind of happens.
I stepped on the scale and it said one at a time, please.
Usually when I step on the scale, it says, get off!
Ouch, you're hurting me.
Yeah, there's nothing better than going to your doctor appointment and then I think it was the pharmacist or whatever. And, you know, it took a while to gain the weight back that I lost. And I'm still below where I was before the heart attack.
You look good.
But the thing is that over the last month, and I know that my exercising was down last month due to, you know, naps and schedule and start things, life events and things getting going and you don't have as much time. Like, you know, you got to run over here, get some interviews done, got to do this, you got a game at night. You don't have the time. So it's probably up. And the funny thing is the actual scale they gave me from the hospital to take home.
They gave you a scale?
Yeah, a little digital scale. And so I keep using that one. The problem is that depending on where you stand and how you lean, I can have a 5-pound swing.
Lean the way it makes you look better.
Exactly. That's exactly what the pharmacist said, but he was just like, oh, keep an eye on the weight. And I'm just like, well, you're dressed, and I don't remember if I had that much of a drink or whatever in the morning, but you know, you're dressed and you're on the scale, you're on the road. We ate some salty food and stuff the day before. So we probably retained a little extra fluids and stuff. So it was up, you know, 5 pounds or more. And he's like, keep an eye on it. And you're like, yeah, I know.
It's harder as you get older too. Metabolism slows down. 527 Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. We do have rain in the forecast, but it looks like not until tonight before we start to see that moving in. But tonight into tomorrow, into Friday, looks like Thursday, Friday, particularly rainy days. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki's got 60% chance of rain both Thursday, Friday, 30% chance into Saturday. So I guess enjoy the dry weather here this morning and into the afternoon hours before we see that rain moving in. But what was he saying, like 1 to 2 inches possible?
Yeah, he was saying like 1 to 2 inches. So that's why you say it might not rain until tonight.
All day tomorrow.
I might have an opportunity then to, you know, get back and hopefully get to the gym, but then also get my yard mowed just before
it
rains.
Mow your yard, yeah.
Because there are certain spots, like I said yesterday, I think it was, there are certain spots that get more shade and they're kind of long and straggly that need to be mowed. So, because if it rains and I saw on the TV, we'll be back up potentially in the low 80s next week.
Yep.
That's going to still continue to have your lawns are going to still continue to be growing. I don't need to try and have one of those times where it happens every spring when we get a lot of rain within 1 week and I'm only got time to do it once a week. And all of a sudden it takes you forever because the lawnmower's plugging up. You got to go slow because it's so long.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's probably best to get that in the
try to mow your lawn
week.
Today, yep. Yeah, if you can. All right, partly mostly cloudy showers towards evening, 77 for our high temp. Our question of the morning, do you have a good luck charm or some type of good luck routine? Love to hear the stories, 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Maybe you go play bingo and you got a little coin or some little good luck charm. You put it on the table next to you. I've seen people do that. A little trinket of some sort.
Maybe it's been on TV, but I've seen people with like little troll dolls. A lucky rabbit's foot. Or if you're Swedish, you've got a lucky rabbit named Svoot. That's a Geico commercial.
I'm like, you made that up.
No, that was a commercial. It's my lucky rabbit, Svoot.
I don't think I've seen that one. I've seen a lot of the Geico ones, but I don't think
I should say that's Progressive, not Geico. It's Progressive.
I had a rabbit's foot growing up because they were a thing, I think, in the 70s,
yeah.
I want to say.
Uh-huh.
I remember having a green one. It was just like a keychain. It never brought me any luck.
No, the funny part is like, oh, it's my lucky rabbit's foot. Well, it's not so lucky for the rabbit.
No, it wasn't. That's right. I don't know. Who started that garbage about a rabbit's foot being lucky?
I've found over the years, even though I have literally told myself time and time again, when I'm watching my favorite teams, and especially like when the Wolves are in the playoffs or the Buccaneers are playing, I actually don't do it when I'm usually watching my alma mater, USD, because I just get irritated because I want all my teams to win so badly. And when it comes to your university, there's nothing you can go like, well, we need to make a trade for this player. We need to get rid of that player because he's playing terrible, which is what you can do in professional sports. You can make trades. You can, you know, renew your roster by getting different guys. You get a draft, whatever. In college sports, you kind of get what you can get. And with today's day and age, all the teams in North and South Dakota, the big schools, the UNDs, NDSUs, et cetera, they lose player to the transfer portal because someone's willing to pay them, heck, up to seven, you know, up to seven figures to go sit on the bench for them and wait for their turn to play. And so that affects the team, and my alma mater's being clearly affected by that this season. So there's nothing you can do. And so you want them to win and play well, but sometimes it's hard for me to watch them because, you know, if they're not good, they're not good. There's nothing you can do about it. All you can do is wait till next year. And then when you're watching your favorite pro team, I mean, there's been certain times when I like literally sit in a certain spot and they're playing well, and I won't.
See, that's a superstition.
I sit in a certain spot. Or there was a time when my dad and I always joked that if I was watching the game live as it happened, that's when they would start playing poorly. So I would pause it and then let it pause for 5-10 minutes and then start watching it at minimum, because then I'm not watching it live, so I have no effect on it. But the fact of the matter is, I know I keep telling myself, what I do at home, if I wear this jersey or do that, I have no effect on the game. But it was probably a season or two ago, I got on my favorite, you know, Buccaneers jersey, I'm all ready for the game, and then they started playing terrible. I took the jersey off and I didn't wear it the rest of the season because I figured it was going to jinx them.
Did it help?
I don't remember if that was the year that they went like 13-4 and lost in the playoffs, but you know, it seemed like it helped.
Yeah, a lot of people are superstitious, I guess, or have a routine when it comes to following
their
team.
Some are superstitious, some are just a little stitious.
Do you have a good luck charm or a routine that you follow just to kind of keep luck on your side? 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Good morning to you, Dave in Grand Rapids. He keeps a rosary on him just in case. Yeah. Not a bad idea.
No, that has nothing to do with luck there. That's more spiritual than anything.
Yeah, that's true, too. Crash, I chuckled over this one. I know other guys that do this, too. Can't shave during deer season until the first deer is shot.
Some guys don't, like, if you look at hockey players, maybe not so much the junior league team here in town because they're 18 to 21. Still, they can grow some facial hair at times. But you watch the NHL players. Those guys, they start the playoffs, and if it's a good team that goes deep into the playoffs, they stop shaving, and all of a sudden they've just got stuff growing, and you're just like, you know.
And that's part of a routine or superstition. That, hey, let's not shave because it's working for us being unshaven.
Yeah.
As long as they're showering, that's all that matters, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's true for anybody. Preferably. That's true for anybody.
That is true. Take your showers. Do you have a good luck charm or good luck routine? Love to hear your stories. 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. It is 5:33. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Also check in with ABC Sports. That's right. You're A-OK. So are we. 5:39 most of the time. We're just, everybody's unique.
6:01, half
be yourself. Just be yourself. Be proud. That's what I do. Just rock what you got. 5:39, partly cloudy, 61 degrees at our WDAY radio studios. High top I 29 in South Fargo, north winds at 5. We do have rain in the forecast. Looks like tonight the rain will be moving in, partly to mostly cloudy. Showers towards evening, 77 for the high. And then tomorrow kind of looking like an all-day kind of rain event for the most part. Cloudy, rainy, cool.
That's all right. It'll drop the temperature. It'll be, you know, I know that there's like a last cruise night in West Fargo and you don't want it to affect that.
And but Dean was saying it wasn't looking good.
No, but I mean, for me as a person who's not doing the cruise night or whatever, although it's funny because I literally got my vehicle washed last week and I think I took it to, I think it was the morning. I washed it in the morning, went to the Dragon game on Saturday, and then after the game got done, Then we had 15, 20 minutes of rain, not super heavy or anything, but a nice little sprinkler or whatever. So my car wash was just all, it was worthless. I spent $12 on nothing.
Even worse when you get just rain, when it gets windy too, and then you get all that dust that blows. It was not yesterday, but the day before, it was super windy. I think it must have been like carryover winds from the storms that hit on Sunday or whatever.
Let's see, today, I guess it was Tuesday. Yeah, so it was Monday, because I remember letting Luna in from going out, and she went off the deck in the evening, and I remember seeing Sandy's plants that are up on the deck.
She's got
a little stand over there, and like all three of them, instead of being the pot being straight up and the plant being here, they're all leaning over because the wind blew them. So it must have been kind of, at least in our backyard, kind of whipping around from kind of the south a little bit.
I forgot to ask Dean about that. But yeah, the winds were pretty strong on Monday. But yesterday was a lovely day.
Yeah.
A little on the warm side.
A little too warm. Man. I know. Outside.
I'm with you there, too. We're not like.
Avoided that.
Heat lovers, but now we're going to be cooling off here into the 77 still today, but then cooling off right around 70 degrees tomorrow through Sunday. But Dean's saying there's another warm up, like 80 degrees are not done. So if you love the 80 degree temps, we'll be seeing more of those coming up next week.
Yeah. I mean, we'll just so long, Bonnie, as and I think you've probably already asked Dean, as long as we can continue to have that weather is fine, but as long as we can have a little bit longer fall, that we can have fall. We can have fall maybe start at the end, towards the end of this month, goes all through October, maybe still get a couple more weeks of fall. You know, if you're lucky, get it all the way through Thanksgiving, more so than winter. I mean, there's no rush for winter. I know my daughter, she claims that's her favorite season of the year, and I think it has to do with the fact that's when hockey's going on.
But that makes sense.
I mean,
there's a lot of winter sports lovers out there,
She loves to wear, like, sweatshirts and sweatpants all the time. Then again, doesn't matter whether the kid will wear the same thing. But I don't want to rush into cold temperatures because it gets so rough up here.
It gets to be long. Right?
Yeah, and if it's cold, it's one thing if it's, 30s and 40s for a long time and we don't have a ton of snow or anything, because then it's manageable. It's not too bad. But when we start getting, to zeros and negative numbers in the wind chill and we've got blizzard warnings and stuff like that, that's just a slog to get through.
Yeah. I always love when we don't get any significant snow. You get through Thanksgiving and into the early part of December.
Yeah, and we've had some of those winters, obviously, recently, where we haven't had snow for a long time, and we'll get into December, and you're starting to wonder, are we going to have a white Christmas or not? But the winter has been pretty mild up until Christmas, and maybe you get a little sprinkling of snow, but I don't want to start like November, mid-November. Austin's like, oh, we got a winter storm that comes through and dumps 3 inches, and then it's just cold and windy and snow, and you're just like, oh, can we not do this?
Yeah. And fall is just such a lovely time of year that if we can extend it.
Well, as always, usually my snowblower's working, so that should mean that we keep most of the snow away.
Yeah. And you should fire those up, before winter actually hits. Not that winter's coming in.
Actually, she means start them. Don't set them on fire.
Okay. Just start
make sure
them
people
to make
know
sure
that.
They start. But you have time. You can probably wait another month or so to do that. It looks like the cooler temps after today, the cooler temps are sticking around at least through Tuesday. So the 80s that he talked about must be midweek or later. Yeah. That's as far as I can see. On WDAYRadioNow.com. Speaking of that, if you go to WDAYRadioNow.com and you are a first responder or know a first responder who would like to go to the Lee Bryce concert at Shields Arena coming up later this month, you have an opportunity to nominate you or a first responder to win a pair of tickets as well as meet and greet passes to see Lee Bryce live at Shields Arena, and this concert is Saturday, September 27th, and we want to thank our fine sponsor, Schmidt's Gems and Fine Jewelry, as well as Shields Arena for partnering up with us. Looking forward, our winner will be announced on September 24th, so get those nominations in before September 24th. Tell us why you or the first responder that you are nominating deserves to win, somebody maybe who's made a difference in your life, and that'll be a great concert as well. Shields Arena does a great job over there, too. Got to get those concerts in before we get ice in for the
There's the way they can do both. Yeah, I mean, I think Shields had posted a video, or maybe it was the Fargo Forest, I forget, because technically when you look at it, the staff that works at Shields Arena is also the Fargo Forest's staff as well. And they were making a few upgrades and stuff around the arena when we went there for a short meeting. And then I believe they posted on their social media that they got the ice put in, which, of course, that's a whole painting the floor. I mean, it must be a paint that can be washed away, obviously. It must not be a permanent paint, but they get it all painted with the lines and everything. I think a lot of time, I think for certain teams, it's like they're like vinyl, maybe not so much signs, but they're like they're made out of vinyl, so you just lay them down where they're supposed to go, and then when you put the water and stuff over top of it, then it freezes there, so then you have your logo at center ice, et cetera. So they're getting the ice put in there because home opener is October 4th, I believe.
Okay, yeah.
And so they had their one and only preseason game at home over at Farmers Credit Union, Farmers Union Insurance Center, FUIC. That's the other sheet of ice over there.
Okay.
They had their only preseason game at home last week on the 11th. And that was the only time they were doing a preseason game at home. So the next time you'll actually see the boys playing, it's going to be October 4th at home. And their season should start, I believe, the weekend before that, usually out in Pittsburgh.
You know that's not far off, right?
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
It's crazy. I mean, I know I was absent for 2 weeks here, but
2 weeks, it was 2 months.
June
Ask
went fast,
anybody
July, no,
you've been off
fast.
All summer. I'm surprised you knew how to get back in the building.
June, I'm like, he worked when I came in. The boss came in when he got here about 8:30 yesterday. He goes, is everything working? You haven't been locked out or anything? You haven't been fired? I said, not that I know of.
If I'm gone for 2 weeks, I forget my passwords.
I did not. I kind of wondered about that.
Use the same one over and over.
Yeah, for everything. All my banking. Absolutely. No, I do not. No, that was something I kind of worried about. It's like, oh, yeah. I've never had 2 weeks off in my life. And it's like, am I going to remember my password? But I did.
Yeah, I literally sometimes have just kind of had that brain fart and of course, I was gone for a couple months from the work, so I had to reset passwords.
That's a big one, yeah.
Yeah, and then you, there's so many different things you have to log into in life these days that you put in your one password. That's not it. Put in your other backup password. Then you put your third password, and you're just like, that's still not it. Then you get an email sent to you, forgot password, and then you have to reset it. So then you reset it, but then when you go to reset it, it says can't be the same as the last three passwords, and you're like, I just... You said that wasn't it.
Yeah. Passwords and password resets, that's really annoying. Mm-hmm. And some sites will make you every single time say whether you want a code sent to your text message or email. Target does that. At least mine does on my Target app.
Yeah, there's a number of apps I have that do that. They'll send you a code. Although one of the best things that, and I don't know if other cell phones do it, but I know that iPhones do it. When you get sent either via email or text the code that you have to put in, you go back to that app or that website and you push the space to start typing it in. It'll bring up that number so you can just push the push the little where, you know, normally it's a word, you know, like it has an auto text down there.
Mm-hmm.
It'll have that number so you just push it. You don't have to type in the whole number.
Oh, nice.
You don't have to go back and go, okay, it's 123456. 123456. And then you go back to the other app and then type it in. It's just, you just click it and it'll automatically put it in there for you.
You know what I've been noticing? I've been getting a lot of like yesterday in my home personal email, I saw some things like, oh, thanks for your order from Kohl's. Your shipment is arriving. And it's like, I look at it and it's sending it to some random address in St. Cloud, Minnesota. So I Google it and it's like, that's not even a property where somebody lives at. And then it's like, here, you got your Kohl's. There was three of them in a row. Yeah. You get your Kohl's bucks and then blah, blah, something else. And like, it's, what do they call it? That one's called a brushing scam. But there was another one that
Is that one where they make the website look like, it's like, if this isn't your order, if you need it shipped to a different place, click here. So they're trying to bait you into putting your information in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I knew, I haven't even used my Kohl's card, isn't even good anymore.
I don't know if you know this or not.
7-8 years ago since
I don't know if you know this or not, but I've been funding a lot of people's Norton antivirus because I continually get those spam emails.
I got one of those.
But they go to my spam folder, so I never actually read them. But
I go through my work spam folder all the time.
I usually look at my spam folders just to make sure. But there's some, you know, I don't know, you know, I'm not saying Anderson Windows is up to anything, but there's a renewal by Anderson email that I continually get that goes to spam. There's the your PayPal account's been charged for your subscription to Norton Antivirus for like 3 years, and it's like $559 or something. But it's all like, they don't go the extra step and make it actually look really real.
But if people don't know any better, that's how they get them hooked. Yeah. They're hoping for that person that's got their guard down, they're busy, they just don't have the cognitive ability.
Always go back and go yourself into your own bank account, online banking, double check any purchases there. If it's a company that you do business with, go into your account. Like if you get these emails from Kohl's, don't click on the link there. Go to Kohl's.com and log into your account like normal. Double check, make sure there's no orders coming. Just don't click on stuff that people send you, especially when it doesn't make any sense.
I got one of those strange ones in my work spam about 2 weeks ago before I left on vacation. And it was one. Do you remember there was a case of a young man, and I can't remember where it was. It was somewhere in the U.S. where he got these messages from – they've ended up tracking who was responsible for somebody in another country where they were like, we've got a video of you, and we're going to expose this, and we're going to show – and then the young man ended up taking his life. I got one of those type thing. They're trying to tell me they got like porn videos of me and blah, 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 and they're going to share it with my family. I'm like – okay.
You only share those with certain people.
I don't do that kind of stuff. Come on. But I could see how somebody did something like that.
Well, and there was a time for a while that the scam was that they claimed that they hacked your computer and they, like you said, they either got video or this, and the only way for them not to release stuff or make your life just living hell was to pay them in Bitcoin.
Right.
And as soon as, even the first couple times, you're like, well, is this legit? And you kind of read it and then kind of waited to see if they responded again. Eventually got to a point where that's just one of those standard kind of phishing emails. Like they make this supposed threat to you, get you, you know, find gullible people that would believe it, and then they get them to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, kind of scary. And like I said, I can't remember where in the U.S., but there was a young man who took his life over threats like that. Question of the morning, do you have a good luck charm or a good luck routine? 701-293-9000. You can email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Jay says he has a picture of his wife's graduation picture in his wallet for 42 years now. A little tattered, but she's his good luck charm.
My wife gives me pictures of her that she'll have printed out, and I'll be like, we don't have a mouse hole we need to cover up and scare the mice away.
Yikes. At least she's not Janae, who prints like her face on everything and gives it to Chuck for like Christmas and birthday gifts, pillows, blankets.
Well, anything. You never know. Maybe Chuck's got a short man. Maybe he forgot who he's married to.
Forgets what she looks like. 5:52, time now to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Rito. 5:55, Wednesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Brian Kronk, managing partner of Collins and Kronk, will be joining us coming up at 7:45 this morning. Market update and insight. Hart, they're going to be coming to Fargo. I don't know if you heard that news.
Yes, I did. I got the email from Shields Arena yesterday.
There you go. Boom. Speaking of Shields Arena,
I'm surprised because Ann and Nancy Wilson, I mean, I wouldn't say they were, quote unquote, in their prime, but they were real popular back in the 80s. And I want to say that there was, for metal fans out there, they, thanks for that, Glenn. There was a song with, I can't remember if it was Disturbed or Five Finger Death Punch. I think it was Disturbed. And they had a track that was a ballad that had Ann Wilson on it. Mm-hmm. And so I believe, you can probably Google this, I want to say she's either late 60s or early 70s.
That's probably accurate.
So, I mean, she's still obviously got the pipes on her to sing. And we've seen older male singers that were, you know, hair bands. I in a sense, had to make it up to my daughter because the quote-unquote first concert she ever went to was Vince Neil at Ribfest. I've seen
who
video.
Who was not in his prime.
Nope.
At the time.
And I've seen more video. He still sings that way that he does then. I've seen video of David Lee Roth, who is a shadow of his former self. And sometimes, you know, based on how you sing and the way the vocals are, you can't do it when you're in your 60s now. But Ann, that woman can still sing.
They're rockers. Nancy Wilson's 71. Ann is 75. And again, they'll be coming to Shields Arena on Wednesday, March 11th, and tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 o'clock. Go to Shields Arena website.
Barracuda.
There you go. They have a number of great songs, great rockers, a lot of
they were, like I said, they were
them.
Super popular back in the 80s, and just like you said, when you think about it, the fact that Ann is 75 years old and can still get out there and sing, I mean, just amazing.
And you didn't discover them to the 80s. I mean, they were popular starting in the 70s. Well, I mean, they were 70s.
I mean, they probably were on the radio back in the 70s. I just kind of don't really probably didn't
you
follow
were in my diapers still.
Well, I was still in, like, you know, grade school, and then when you get into high school, and of course back then I started getting the cassettes or whatever. But there was a few other tapes that obviously I had for Heart, and then they had some real popular tunes and stuff in the '80s, you know, as opposed to just the '70s. But yeah, they've been around. I mean, God, 2020, they've probably been around for 50 years then. I mean, you think about Chicago showed up in June, and my parents came up to that one. Those guys probably been around for like 60 or more.
They're 76, Crazy on You, Magic Man came out. Those were their two big, you know, kind of their commercial breakthroughs.
Sure.
So mid-70s.
Yeah, so they're coming up on 50 years of performing. So
still getting
I just
out there and doing it.
Yeah, and there's some you know, singers and musicians that they can continue to play and play and play. I mean, the Rolling Stones, I mean, those guys are like 125 years old each. I mean,
they've got
125. They've got 125 to 150 years of life experiences on them, but they're only in their like 70s and 80s. But that's a different story. But
yeah.
I mean, some just are able to continually do it, and it's so impressive. And that also talks about how you have to be active, maintain your health, and do the things, you know. And a lot of these guys have kind of stopped doing stuff. There's certain things that, say, Willie Nelson continues to do that, I mean.
Some people defy all odds, though, too. I mean, look at, you go back to the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
You look at, you know, like Keith Richards.
Keith Richards.
Instance,
I don't know how that man is still alive, to
and
be
he
honest.
He looks good.
Well, I wouldn't go quite that far. He looks weathered.
He does, but he looks good.
But like I said, Willie Nelson, I mean, obviously he's a smoker, and he's like 93, I think we had found out when he came to Blue Stem.
Is he a smoker, or is he just a dope smoker?
That's what I meant, is a dope smoker.
He's 92.
92, my bad. He's not as old as I thought, but he is, you know, by musician standards, in a sense, he's probably ancient.
Isn't there another farm thing that's supposed to be
Farm Aid, yeah. There was
did it happen when I was gone, or
no,
is it coming
up? No, it's coming up because there was a story in Business News that the potential strike or issues with staff in the University of Minnesota who would be helping out with the production of that got resolved. So Farm Aid is good to go coming up shortly.
September 20th.
Yeah. And that should be down somewhere in the cities, right?
Yeah, it's in Minneapolis.
Like TCF or whatever.
I think that's what
whatever the football stadium's called these days.
But yeah, so Willie's going to be at that.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Young. Mm-hmm. John Mellencamp.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's not quite as old as the rest of them.
No, but I saw a picture of most of them. There was a picture of a woman with him, which must be a younger country singer. But there was like John Mellencamp and Willie Nelson and stuff. And I'm like, these guys have been around for a while. I mean, I'm thinking about like when I got introduced to some of them, probably like, you know, obviously I probably heard them in the 70s, but like early to mid 80s. So you're like, even if it's 85, pick a year, just kind of right there, 85. That's 40 years ago that these guys have been, you know, that they were performing and super popular. So you're just like, man, it's amazing they're still going.
Hate to break it to you, buddy, but we've been around a long time, too.
Some of us longer than others.
That is true. 601, we are WDAY Fargo. 6:04, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has arrived with a check on our forecast. So far, so good out there this morning. Anyway.
Yeah, so far, it's a nice morning. You know, you got the windows open, you got that cooler air, and not as humid as the other few mornings. But temperatures, hey, pretty pleasant. 58 degrees right now here at the studio, 57 in Moorhead, Wahpeton, and Yulin. Grand Forks here at 56, so you get to just mid-upper 50s across the area. We got light winds out there. Now, we'll see an increase in clouds. There are some showers on radar. Down to our south, into South Dakota, around Watertown. Also out to our west and southwest, Ashley, Vishick area, all that moving northward. So if you're going west or southwest of the valley, you'll see some light showers developing late today. For us, we'll stay dry most of the day. So if you have any outdoor plans, go ahead. 78 today as clouds increase, north-northeast winds at 10 to 15. Now, that rain will move in from the south overnight tonight, probably right around sunset, it looks like, or shortly after. Now, don't be surprised if we see an isolated shower or two before that, but that's the general rain coming in after dark tonight. With lows near 60, northeast winds 10 to 15, pretty wet day on tap for Thursday. Showers all day, 70 for a high, ditto on Saturday, on and off showers on Saturday, or Friday, sorry, on Friday, with highs in the upper 60s. So a wet end of the week. Again, it still looks like a good half inch to an inch of rain across most of the area with some pockets of heavier rain. And then the weekend, what does that hold? Well, I'll have more on the weekend forecast coming up after the bottom of the hour.
So Thursday is supposed to be the final cruise night of the year for West Fargo.
Good luck.
Probably not going to be happening.
I think I don't know if Jay's going to have it in the rain or not. That'd be a question for him.
To take their nice collector
out in the rain.
Out in the rain, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So might be canceled. I don't know. That's up to Jay. Yeah. But yes, it does look wet for final cruise night. Yeah. Sorry.
And it's supposed to be Ladies League. I haven't golfed in a few weeks, obviously.
On Thursday?
Yeah. I did not say I was golfing just because I listen to you sometimes.
Yeah.
I heard
some
yesterday loud and clear.
There, so yeah, right. Well, we've got a golf tournament.
I know.
On,
that's why I wanted to
Monday.
Go golfing Thursday because I thought, oh, I'll just, you know,
kind of warm
although
up.
Although I do better when I don't practice.
Don't practice. I know. Monday looks a little wet too. Scattered stuff, but I will probably get it off, and then we'll probably have rain when we're on the course.
That's okay because I got a new rain jacket for golf this spring that I only wore once, so it's in my bag. And so
no umbrella?
I'll be prepared. Nah, I don't have an umbrella.
Okay.
I let my clubs get wet. It washes them once a year when it rains. I'm not one for cleaning my clubs either.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
when did you say the LRC is going to be coming out, the new LRC?
So the new cycle will reset October 6th, couple weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks.
Isn't that crazy?
October already, yeah. Man. Yeah. We've got, it'll be interesting to see what this pattern holds this year. There's a couple different influences that we've got affecting us this year that we haven't the last few years.
Like so, what?
It'd confuse you.
It's but, meteorologist
yeah.
stuff? Oh, okay.
La Nina may be one of them, which okay. we all heard that. But again, that hasn't fully developed yet, and will it? So, but if that does fully develop, that will affect it. Couple other things too. So,
does like hurricane season affect the LRC calendar?
No. And it was supposed to be a pretty active season this year, and it still have a ways to go. But I mean, so far it hasn't been that active this year.
What is it like? August through March, or when is hurricane season again?
No, we got usually
it's several months.
Usually it's late August through October.
Oh, it's just
yeah.
October.
You can
okay.
get them into November, but okay. it's usually through October.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. And what first day of fall is Monday? Does that sound right?
The 22nd.
22nd. Is that Monday?
I think.
Let's
see.
I gotta look at my phone calendar.
Yep.
Yeah. Monday.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So
I like fall. I want fall to go very, very.
Yesterday
very, very
was
long.
Beautiful.
It was, yeah, it was nice.
I loved it. The humidity was low. It felt like summer out there.
It was a little warm. I got enough warm air over in Greece. It was so hot over there.
Was it that bad?
Oh,
really?
It was in the 90s the whole
time.
Oh,
yeah, that's a little hot for
we
September.
We had to go to the Acropolis at 8 o'clock in the morning because it was so hot.
The what?
The Acropolis.
What the heck is that?
It's that in you don't know what that is in Greece?
Isn't that a strip joint?
No.
Are you sure? I thought it was a Greece strip joint.
That's where you don't know what the Acropolis is, and it's hard to say. Acropolis. Come on.
No, unless
everybody
you're saying
knows
it wrong.
What that
hold on,
is.
Let me look at it.
Oh, come on. Everybody knows what the Acropolis is.
Oh,
this
that
old
thing.
Oh, that old thing? Come on. Yeah, we...
I didn't know that was a specific name. That was the specific name
yeah,
for it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay.
It was really cool, but it was a lot of climbing to get up there. And so we got in line, I think, at 7:30. We had bought tickets ahead of time. 8 o'clock, they opened the gates. We start climbing. We were done by 9:30, and we were dying. That's how hot it was.
How,
I couldn't
what's
imagine.
What's the elevation on that, do you know?
I don't know elevation, but it's
or
hot.
Stairs, or steps, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Too many.
Elevation, let's see. Of course, it has to be in meters. 150 to 157 meters, I guess, looks like about 512 feet above sea level.
Okay, so not that bad. I mean, in terms of...
No, it's not like massive, but it's still a lot of work to actually...
Especially if it's hot out.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we went early in the morning to do that.
Would you go back?
No, I don't like to fly, but Greece was absolutely beautiful. I don't know how you could find a more beautiful
really?
Place to go to, yeah.
I guess, do you have to be into the, like, ancient ruins and stuff
no,
like that
see,
to appreciate it?
I thought, and that's what I'm like, that's fine. I didn't think I wanted to go because I didn't think I would like Greece because
right.
of this old. Who wants yeah. to look at old ruins? No, it was actually cool. Athens was super cool.
I heard Athens is gorgeous,
it's
yeah.
a big city, but I liked when we got, like, out of the, you know, the main area of all the traffic and stuff, and they've got all these shops and restaurants, like, hundreds and hundreds of them, and you just
right.
kind of walk through there and spend all your time doing that. But
huh.
then when we flew from Athens to this tiny island called Milos, this island was really cool exploring
that had to be
it.
Beautiful.
Did yeah. you see my Facebook pictures? I should share some on my work page.
I try and stay off social media as much as I can.
Okay.
It's usually no good.
I just saw you on there wearing a too tight Vikings.
Well, I lost the bet. I had to. I lost the bet. That and I'll post pictures of my Speedo. But other than that, nobody wants to see anything else.
I don't post too often on my personal page. But, you know, that was a trip of a lifetime. So, of course, I had to post the wedding pictures, my daughter's wedding, and then, you know, Greece and Serbia or whatever. And then, but normally, I don't post a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like milestones, right?
Right.
Like the birth of my granddaughter, her 1 year birthday, and stuff like
That's different.
But, yeah. Exactly. Question of the morning, do you have a good luck charm or good luck routine? Maybe when it comes to your cubbies or bears.
I used to, and it never worked. So I'm like,
you gave up on it.
I'm like, no. What routine did I always used to do? For Cubs game, I would always make sure the W flag was out waiting. There'd be different things I'd have, but currently, do I have any? No, I don't. No, I definitely used to back in the day.
I like crashes. Can't shave during deer season until the first deer is shot.
Oh, man.
Wonder what happens if they never get one.
Well, then he's going to look like ZZ Top. That's what.
Yeah, he is.
So if he comes out looking like ZZ Top, you know, he didn't get anything that season.
There you go. No deer sticks for you guys. 6:12, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty is in with your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:16 coming up at 6:56 this morning, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this artist who went to number one on this date in 2011. She is a 16-time Grammy Award winner. Find out who it is, Flatland Music Flashback, right around 6:56. Big Game James McCarty is here now with your WDAY Radio Sports.
For those Vikings fans who are excited about Sunday, well,
woo!
Just to let you know, your starting running back Aaron Jones has been placed on the IR.
Oh.
Hamstring injury yesterday.
Starting quarterback out.
Yep.
Starting running back out.
Yep.
How many starting linemen are out?
Left tackle for sure.
Okay.
Possibly center.
All right.
Possibly backup left tackle.
All right. That's good. That's only five.
Yeah. You only have four linebackers that are out currently.
So there's nine people out.
You usually play with two or three cornerbacks. One of them is out. We have two safeties in our roster. One is out. You kind of have a hybrid, so you might have two and a half.
How many people are listed on the injury report this week? I thought I saw some.
You include the one that got suspended?
Yeah.
We're at 19.
Wow. Yikes. Who got suspended for what?
Jordan Addison.
Jordan Addison for the
DUI.
Oh,
the DUI.
That's right.
A year and a half or so ago.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, and everything got finalized with that. And so this is.
That's less than.
This will be the third game, right?
That's less than ideal. I know Cincinnati's got a backup quarterback coming to town starting because Joe Burrow's out, but.
Former backup of the Vikings, Jake Browning.
Yeah, that still doesn't bode well for the Vikings. You're going to have to. I mean, now. You can't take any more hit injuries, you know, on that defense, but you need the defense to hold the Cincinnati to like 10 points or less, it seems like.
It'll be interesting on Sunday. I might be scouting for duck hunting.
I haven't even watched them yet. I've been gone, and I just didn't watch preseason.
It's going to be interesting. I'm going to have to watch the game with Carson playing, but yeah, it makes you wonder, right?
I mean, maybe I'll catch my first Vikings game this season.
Oh. Well, high school volleyball last night. Let's go a little more positive. Fargo North over Red River in four sets. Davies swept Grand Forks Central. Shanley over Fargo South in four sets. West Fargo High lost the first set and then won the last three to take down Horace in a four set of the match that Jason and I were at last night. Kindred over Oak Grove in four sets. Central Cass swept Northern Cass, but don't let it fool you. Two of those sets were decided by 2 points, and the third one was 25-20. West Fargo Cheyenne in straight sets over Moorhead, very similar spot, 25-22, 25-15, and 25-21. Just Mustangs played better in that back third of each set compared to the Spuds. And the Minnesota side of the river, Sauk Rapids Rice over Detroit Lakes in straight sets, Holly over DGF in a sweep. You had Lake Park Audubon fall in a five-setter to Climax Fisher, 15-4 in that decisive set. Park Christian edged out to Fertile Beltrami in five sets. They had to win the fourth and fifth sets. The fifth set was 15-12. Minnesota Twins found themselves in a 10-1 hole yesterday. They would come firing back and ultimately just end up falling short. 10-9, they lose to the Yankees. Zebby Matthews gave up 9 runs over 3 innings. He was tagged with the loss. James Altman, Ryan Fitzgerald with 2-run homers apiece. Trevor Larnach with a solo home run as well in that one. Twins and Yankees have a rubber match here this evening. First pitch at 6:40. Taj Bradley scheduled to get the start for Minnesota. A&W NBA postseason action last night. We saw a pair of games that are going to now be a decisive game three as Indiana defeated Atlanta 77-60. Game three is on Thursday at 6:30 in Atlanta on ESPN2. And then you had Seattle take down Las Vegas 86-83. Game three for that one will also be on Thursday at 8:30 on ESPN2. Those two series are tied up in a game apiece, best of three series. This evening, number 5 seed New York will host 4 seeded Phoenix at 7 p.m. on ESPN. New York with a 1-0 series lead, and the Lynx will be in Golden State to take on the Valkyries at 9 p.m. on ESPN, with Minnesota leading that series 1-0. As we round out sports here this hour, tonight, primetime sports at 6:30, our first Fargo Forest Coaches Conversation of the fall. Head coach Brett Skinner will join the show to give us a preview into what we should expect for the Forest in the 25-26 season.
Minnesota's very own Paige Beckers making some news.
Yep, the WNBA's Rookie of the Year. So congratulations to her.
That's cool.
And coincidentally enough, within a calendar year, her and then Stephen Castle, who is a guard for the men's basketball team at UConn, they both won Rookie of the Years, respectively.
Oh, and they're, okay. Yep.
So he was the NBA's Rookie of the Year a year ago, and now she's the WNBA's Rookie of the Year. And they both played college ball for UConn at the same time. So kind of cool in that respect. But, yeah, mm-hmm. I know Paige Beckers absolutely tore it up when she was in the Twin Cities at Hopkins and, of course, went on to UConn, won a national championship. And it's good to see her tearing up the league the way that she has been.
Good for her.
Yeah, and that team's only going to get better. That Dallas squad, we're looking forward to seeing what they'll do next season. Of course, hopefully we'll end up with a healthy Caitlin Clark, too, which will just really add to all the excitement.
Yeah, what was Becker, as long as her, was it her ACL or her knee, or what did she blow out that she was sidelined?
Her ACL a couple years ago, yep. And she,
and that's the key, right? Staying healthy. When
she helped lead her team to the Final Four immediately coming back from that torn ACL, and then after a full season being removed from it, she ended up with that national championship. So it goes to show just how health really, really can make a big difference in those tournaments.
You bet. 6:22, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. A beverage sold at Costco, including the Costcos here in North Dakota and Minnesota, being recalled. We'll talk about that straight ahead. 6:25, welcome in, Bonnie Amistuddy, Jace Denman, Big Game James McCarty. I'm looking around the room. It's just the three of us trying to figure out who's the fanciest.
You.
Okay. Well, okay. I'll give that as a win, but I've never in my life had Prosecco. Have you guys?
Prosecco? What is Prosecco?
What?
James is like, it's kind of like a wine, like a bubbly wine, so it's kind of like champagne, but not exactly.
Hmm. I'm trying to think. There was a winery that
you ever heard of Boone's Farm?
Exactly. Yeah. None of us have ever had Prosecco then, right?
Well, I was thinking of like the Moscato.
Yeah, no,
which is slightly carbonated. It's not like as carbonated as champagne, but it's based off of Moscat, and so it's a little bit carbonated, just a little bit, and it's really, really good.
Prosecco, and I've had Moscato, but it was so long ago I can't remember anymore what it tasted like. But Prosecco is an Italian sparkling wine, so it's got bubbles like champagne, but champagne.
I think it's more of that it's still a wine. It's not a champagne because it's not carbonated enough to be champagne. I think the Moscatos might be similar though. It might be just based off a red wine as opposed to a white wine that is a Moscat.
But the Prosecco has got, pretty sure it's bubbly. They had it when I was over at the Heritage Homes when I was over in Horace.
Is it the blue bottle?
I don't know what color bottle it's in. But the reason I wanted to talk about it is there's a big recall. If you happen to buy Prosecco, which you fancier people than the three of us.
Right, maybe fancier than I thought.
If you happen to buy it and you got it at Costco, including here in both North and South Dakota, Minnesota, many other states as well, there's a big recall because they say the bottles could shatter even without being touched. I wonder if they got too much pressurized
it could be.
Bubbles in
it. Is this the Kirkland brand of it then?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see the bottle. It's kind of a tan bottle. It's got purple labeling on it.
I don't even know how to pronounce it. Prosecco's hard enough for us because we're not that fancy, but it's Kirkland Signature Prosecco Valdobbiadine or something like that. Valdobbiadine.
Valdobiadine.
Could shatter without even being touched.
11% alcohol volume. All right.
Yeah. And this product was sold between April 25th and August 25th of this year. Mm-hmm. Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, Missouri, Nebraska, Ohio, Wisconsin also included, along with the Dakotas and Minnesota. The letter, I suppose by your purchase, they sent a letter to customers.
I would think so.
Okay. They're sending out a letter, if you haven't received one yet, asking you not to return the bottle because, mm-hmm. remember, it can shatter even by not even touching it. They say bring the letter to a store for a refund is what they say.
There you go. It looks like when I Google Prosecco, I think I've seen this bottle. There's a Mionetto.
It's we are so common folk.
Mionetto.
Mion. That's a new one for Mionetto. Me too. I have no idea.
It's kind of got orange labeling on it. I think I've seen that one potentially like at Costco or other places before. But I think when I just Googled that type of a wine, then the Moscatos have also pop up. So I think they're all similar style of drink as far as being slightly carbonated, etc. But yeah, I would assume that if the bottles are shattering without touching them, mm-hmm. there's too much carbonation built up, or yeah. there's something wrong specifically with those bottles so that the carbonated liquor in there, that the bottle just is not, it's not working well for it.
Like I said, I didn't have any, but mm-hmm. when I was out at the ranch at Sunset Valley, their yeah. open house in Horace Heritage Homes, they were serving Prosecco there.
Mm-hmm.
That was the, I mean, I've heard of it, but I've just never
I would
had
think
it.
That Prosecco, I would have to, I need to probably finish my Google search, but it's probably like the Moscato is based on Muscat wine. So it's probably the carbonated version, slightly carbonated version of whatever
Prosecco wine.
Yeah. I don't know if it is.
That's how dangerous. I don't know if you guys remember me telling the story, but probably about maybe 13 years ago, my sister Heidi, mm-hmm. she had a bottle of champagne that was in her refrigerator on the door. And this was like 25 years after it was a wedding thing. So it was left over from their wedding. Mm-hmm. Sat on the door of their refrigerator for 25 years. Finally, she got sick of looking at it and she thought, well, I'm just going to get rid of that. So she took it outside,
yeah.
25 years after the fact, mind you, with a hammer, and she was going to try to get the cork out so she could
keep it. Yeah.
And it shattered. It blew up in her hand.
Oh, yeah.
She had to have reconstructive surgery. Mm-hmm. Like, they were worried about, like, tendons in her hand that she might not regain use of her hand. And,
yeah.
of course, she runs her own business. She owns her own greenhouse. So she was really concerned that that injury might have been the end of her career and stuff. But thankfully, with her reconstructive surgery that they did on her, she was able to regain full use of her hand. But
yeah.
all that pressure that's built up when you're yeah. talking, you know, champagne or Prosecco or
yeah.
whatever.
So comparing it to the Moscato that I've drank previously, and there's been a number of brands of Moscato that my family has drank. We had a particular one from a winery in Northern California called Visatui, which was excellent. But you can find some cheaper versions, usually at Costco or whatever. But it says, so when comparing it to Prosecco, Prosecco is a drier tasting wine than Moscato and often has a much higher alcohol content. Additionally, while Prosecco is a fully sparkling wine, Moscato can either be sparkling or semi-sparkling.
Mm.
So it's still in that same category. And, of course, it's only champagne if it's from the Champagne region of France.
Yes, 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 I know.
So instead of being a specific type of drink, it's, you know, there's champagne and there's sparkling wine just based on where it's from. So I guess the French want to say, no, it can be champagne.
Not fancy like that. Yeah. Well, if you happen to have this Prosecco, mm-hmm. Like I said, you should have got a notice, I guess, a letter from Costco. But if you didn't get a letter, you might want to get a hold of Costco yep. directly and maybe don't even touch that bottle until you get further directions.
Don't touch it!
Well, they're telling people to wrap unopened bottles in paper towels, place them in a plastic bag before putting it in the garbage, but you shouldn't even be touching it if it can yeah. blow up to begin with. So,
or be careful, get the cork out, and then get all the alcohol out first, and then shatter the bottle.
Call Steve Barron, West Fargo Roll Fire. He'll help you out. He's a help you out kind of a guy.
Yeah.
6:31. 6:34, time now for a check on our forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
And we've got, a halfway decent day today. If you have outdoor plans today, here in the FM area, I think you're going to be okay. Now, right now, there's some showers, light showers, Vishek up through Bismarck and points north of there. So if you're going west, there's going to be a chance for some scattered showers throughout the day today. Now, we've also got some more showers down around the Watertown area, moving north northwestward. Those will affect the far southern valley as we head towards lunchtime. But again, I think here in the FM area, we're going to stay mainly dry this afternoon. Areas just south and southwest of town stand a better chance of seeing a few scattered showers. So we'll call it increasing clouds today. Isolated showers south and southwest of the FM area with highs in the upper 70s and winds out of the northeast at about 10 to 15. Tonight, showers overspread the area with lows around 60. And then on and off showers throughout the day on Thursday with highs around 70. More of the same on Friday, on and off showers all day long with highs in the upper 60s. And then the weekend, well, we'll see a few scattered showers early on Saturday. I think the afternoon and evening should be a little better. I don't want to say totally dry, but a little better with highs around 70. And then sun returns for Sunday with highs in the mid-70s. And then we'll stay in the 70s through about Wednesday of next week. And a chance for showers coming in Monday. And then as we head towards the latter part of next week, I see a return to 80s and into the following weekend, at least Friday, Saturday, I'm seeing the possibility of 80s returning to the area. So that's good news if you like the summer-like warmth. I thought yesterday was beautiful. I know, Bonnie, you thought it was a little warm. But
Chase, too. We're usually on the same page. We're not heat lovers. Yeah. No.
It's too hot and humid.
Yeah.
No.
70s is perfect. Like 70. 67 to 72 is like the perfect range.
Okay, well, then move to San Diego.
No, I'll stay here. Thank
you. I don't know if you work remotely.
I love my Minnesota trees and fresh air.
Exactly.
I will stay here. All right, coming up, Flatland Music Flashback right around 6:56. This former Miss America had a number one hit back in 1992. Find out who it is, Flatland Music Flashback, right around 6:56, brought to you by Flatland Guitar and Fargo and Music Store, built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network and Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:42, Big Game James McCarty's here now with your WDAY Radio Sports. The conversations that we have behind the scenes.
All right, we're good. Okay. High school volleyball last night in the Minnesota side. Sauk Rapids Rice over Detroit Lakes in straight sets. Holly defeated DGF in a sweep. Lake Park Audubon fell in a five-setter to Climax Fisher, 15-4 in that fifth set. Park Christian edged out Fertile Beltrami in a five-setter, winning both sets 4 and 5. The fifth one was 15-12. Across a matchup across the Red River, actually, West Fargo Cheyenne defeated Moorhead in straight sets. Two of the sets were decided by 4 or less points. The middle set was a 10.1 in favor of the Mustangs. Central Cass swept Northern Cass, but there was 2 sets decided by 2 points and 1 decided by 5, so they were right there with them neck and neck. Kindred down to Oak Grove in 4 sets. West Fargo High over Horace in 4 sets. Shanley defeated South in a 4-setter. Davies swept Grand Forks Central. Fargo North defeated Grand Forks Red River in a 4-setter. Minnesota Twins would have Zebby Matthews on the mound last night. He struggled, giving up 9 runs over 3 innings. He was tagged with the loss. James Altman, Ryan Fitzgerald, each with 2-run homers in that game. A rubber match this evening. First pitch at 6:40. Taj Bradley on the mound for Minnesota. WNBA postseason last night saw a couple of matchups that had the lower-seeded team actually end up with the victory. 6-seeded Indiana over 3-seeded Atlanta, 77-60 to force a decisive Game 3 Thursday in Atlanta at 6:30 on ESPN2. And then 7-seeded Seattle edged out 2-seed Las Vegas, 86-83. That decisive Game 3 will be Thursday as well in Las Vegas, 8:30 tip-off on ESPN2. Tonight, 5-seeded New York with a 1-0 lead over 4-seeded Phoenix. That game will tip off at 7 p.m. on ESPN. And then the nightcap, 8-seed Golden State hosts the top-seeded Minnesota Lynx. Minnesota with a 1-0 lead. That game is scheduled to tip off around 9 p.m. on ESPN. The rest of the week on our family of stations tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I will be joined by Fargo Force head coach Brett Skinner for our first weekly Forces coaches conversation of the year as we preview the season. Friday night, you have Spud football at 6 p.m. against Wayzata with Larry Knutson on the call. And then Saturday, Cobber football fresh off their bye week at St. Olaf. Larry Knutson on a 1 p.m. kickoff call for that one. Our sister station, The Flag, will see number two ranked Shanley hosting Minot with kickoff at 7 p.m. And then Saturday, 11 a.m. pregame with a noon kickoff. The Minnesota State Moorhead Dragons, who are receiving votes in the top 25 poll, will battle Wayne State, a squad that they haven't beat in 7 years. Sports This Hour brought to you by Prairie Supply. Contact the concrete experts at Prairie Supply, the contractor's headquarters. For more info, go to prairiesupply.com.
Did you see that weird story?
That doesn't narrow it down.
About a kid getting electric shock at a football game in Minnesota Friday night.
In Minnesota, huh?
Finlayson, which is kind of over by like Hinkley.
Oh, Hinkley Finlayson?
Yeah.
We played them all that was one of our rivals in high school.
Okay.
I spent a lot of time over there, actually, as a kid.
Okay, I just know that neck of the woods because, you know, when I'm going home to my mom and dad's 10-year-old boy hospitalized, came into contact with a hot light pole during a high school football game. It sounds like he just touched the pole.
The pole, was it the pole, a metal pole, or was it a wooden one with just a power cord running up and down it?
It doesn't say, but probably like a metal one that somehow wasn't properly grounded or
They've
whatever.
They've got both of them there at the Hinkley Finlayson.
Well.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean,
we didn't have the
game lights, and then you have a couple of, you know, because you're on the edge of town, and there's a town ball baseball field there as well with a little parking lot.
We didn't have the metal ones in my hometown growing up. That's why I asked.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just like the actual game lights, field lights are the metal ones. Everything else is on the wood post. But.
Yeah, it doesn't really say, but it knocked the kid unconscious, 10 years old.
Jeez.
They have cordoned off the area around the power pole, shut off the master power switch. The kid was taken to Hennepin County Medical Center. It's expected that he was going to be released here a couple of days ago, so he should
be
recovering at home. Yeah, well, lucky.
There was nothing, because I think the biggest thing that I am concerned with someone getting a massive shock is that it potentially could throw your heart out of rhythm.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I know from the opposite way, you can use it to put your heart right back in rhythm. But at the same time, I mean, if it's something like that and the kid just touched the pole, I mean, that can throw your heart rhythm completely off. And I mean, if he's just unconscious, that's good. But man, you got to worry about, you know, something else happening.
But good news is it sounds like he's going to be okay and was expected to be released from the hospital. 6:47, a chance for you to nominate a first responder or yourself if you are a first responder to win a pair of tickets and a meet and greet with Lee Bryce at Shields Arena, this concert coming up September 27th.
One lucky first responder will be selected thanks to Schmidt's Gems of Fargo, your diamond destination. Nominate or register online at our website at WDAYRadioNow.com. Scroll down about halfway down the page. You look at the Lee Bryce giveaway logo right there. Click on it. Enter your information for either someone, a first responder that you know, or yourself if you're a first responder. We'll select a winner on September 24th, and that's for the Lee Bryce concert, and also follow up with a meet and greet with Lee Bryce at Shields Arena on September 27th.
6:47, coming up 6:56, we're going to be showcasing this group that got banned from the Ed Sullivan Show. Who was it and why did that happen? We will let you know. Flatland Music Flashback, 6:56, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this date in 1978. The video for this song was filmed at Wimbledon Stadium, and it featured naked professional models racing around on bicycles. Find out what band sang what song coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback.
Time for Flatland Music Flashback, Flatland Guitar Music Store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs.
1967, The Doors were banned from the Ed Sullivan Show after Jim Morrison broke his agreement with the show's producers. Morrison said before the performance that he wouldn't sing the words, "Girl, We Couldn't Get Much Higher" from Light My Fire, but
yeah,
did it anyway.
He sure did. The band also performed their new single, People Are Strange.
They still are. All right, Freddie, go write it.
I like this song.
1978, the video for Queen's Bicycle Race was filmed at Wimbledon Stadium. It featured 65 naked female professional models racing around the stadium's track on bicycles.
Problem was they rented those bicycles.
Yes.
And when the rental company found out how they were used, they requested payment for replacement saddles.
Yeah, it was kind of a little bit before the whole sanitizing wipes and stuff.
That's true.
1983, Vanessa Williams of New York became the first black contestant to be crowned Miss America. The following July, she became the first Miss America to resign because of nude photos that appeared in Penthouse magazine.
Williams bounced back from that scandal. She's gone on to have a successful singing and acting career. In 1992, she had a number one hit right there with Save the Best for Last.
It was Axel. He hasn't aged quite so gracefully.
No, he has not.
There was a joke I'll have to tell you off the air about him and Mickey Rourke.
It's the similar, yeah.
1991, over 4 million copies of Guns N' Roses' album Use Your Illusion 1 and Use Your Illusion 2 were simultaneously released for retail sale, making it the largest ship out in pop history in the U.S.
Guns N' Roses covered the Paul and Linda McCartney song Live and Let Die, which was the theme song for the James Bond film Live and Let Die. Their cover hit number 33 on the Billboard charts.
2011... Adele went to number one on the U.S. singles chart with Someone Like You. The 16-time Grammy Award winner was named the best-selling artist of the 2010s in the U.S.
Yeah, monster hit here. Her studio albums, 21 and 25, both certified diamond, the most of any artist who debuted in the 21st century.
Having a birthday today. Fee Waybill of the Tubes is 75. Talk to You Later was in heavy rotation when MTV launched in 1981. It was written by Waybill, David Foster, and Steve Lukather of Toto in less than 2 hours and remains a classic rock staple today.
Good tune. Love it. If you're having a birthday today, happy birthday to you, too. It is 7 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo. 7:03, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here now with a check on our forecast.
And we've got a pretty decent start to the day. Temperatures in the upper 50s, clear skies. There are some showers west of the valley from Vishek up through Bismarck. And that's where basically the rain is going to stay today as it moves out of South Dakota into North Dakota. Now, we can't rule out an isolated light shower around the far southern valley as we head into the afternoon, but I think the FM area and points north should remain dry until evening. That's when we'll start to see our rain chance increase. So if you have any outdoor plans, get them done for the first half of the day up through about 4 or 5 o'clock. Then after that, that's when our chance of showers will start to increase. 78 today with north-northeast winds at 10 to 15. Scattered showers throughout the area tonight. Doesn't look like anything heavy or anything like that, but just scattered showers, low near 60. And a better chance for rain coming in Thursday and Friday with scattered showers both days and highs in the upper 60s to near 70. The weekend looks split. Saturday, when we see the rain, should be the first half of the day. Second half of the day should dry out with temps around 70. And then Sunday, we'll see more sunshine return and highs into the mid-70s. So kind of a wet period we're going to go through here. Half inch to an inch of rain will be widespread across much of the area for Thursday and Friday before ending on Saturday.
That should green up the lawns around here.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's some people that don't need any rain. And then there's other areas like here in the FM area. We've been very dry this month. So in the immediate FM area, we could use the rain. But there's many areas surrounding us that don't need they don't need anything at all. So unfortunately, the areas that don't need it, it's not going to be a heavy, heavy rain, but a half inch to an inch across much of the area through the end of the week.
All right. Thank you, Dino. Weather's been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. 7:05, we're going to check on your national news. When we come back, a sports update from Big Game James McCarty.
7:09, time to check out your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
Last night, the WNBA postseason saw Indiana defeat Atlanta 77-60 to force a decisive Game 3 in Atlanta Thursday at 6:30 on ESPN2, and 7-seeded Seattle defeated 2-seeded Las Vegas in a tight one. 86-83, that decisive Game 3 will be Thursday as well, this one in Vegas at 8:30 on ESPN2. The other two matchups are 5-seeded New York hosting 4-seeded Phoenix. The Liberty with a 1-0 series lead. That game will tip off at 7 on ESPN tonight, and then 8-seeded Golden State host the top seed of Minnesota Lynx. Minnesota with a 1-0 series lead. 9 p.m. is tip off of that one on ESPN. As we look towards high school volleyball from last night, Fargo North over Red River in 4 sets. Davies swept Grand Forks Central. Shanley defeated South in a 4-setter. West Fargo High defeated West Fargo Horace in 4 sets. Kindred over Oak Grove in a 4-setter. Central Cass swept Northern Cass. West Fargo Cheyenne defeated Moorhead in straight sets. In Minnesota, Sauk Rapids Rice downed Detroit Lakes in straight sets. Holly defeated DGF in a sweep. Lake Park Audubon fell to Climax Fisher in a five-setter, 15-4 in that fifth set, and Park Christian edged out Fertile Beltrami as they won the last two sets, including that fifth one, 15-12. Twins gave up 9 runs from Zebby Matthews over 3 innings. He was tagged to the loss in a 10-9 L to the Yankees last night. Twins continue that series with a rubber match tonight. They'll conclude it, actually. 6:40's first pitch, Taj Bradley on the mound for Minnesota. And for Vikings fans, well, your starting running back, Aaron Jones, has been placed on the injured reserve list. He'll miss at least the next 4 weeks with a hamstring injury yesterday. Comes after the Purple announced J.J. McCarthy going to miss that week 3 game due to an ankle sprain. So the Vikings signing free agent quarterback Desmond Ridder and bringing back running back Cam Akers to replace both Jones and McCarthy for the time being. The Vikings and Carson Wentz will host the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday at noon. Coverage available for that one on CBS. And here's your Roundout Sports here this hour. Tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. We'll be joined by Fargo Force head coach Brett Skinner for our first weekly coaches conversation as we preview the 25-26 season for the Fargo Force as we wrap up preseason play and approach the regular season here in the next week or so. Sports this hour brought to you by Sun Electric. At Sun Electric, they take on some of the industry's most difficult projects and are ready to take yours on as well. Have an electrical problem? They have the power to solve it online at sunelectricnd.com.
712, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Good morning to you. Thank you for being here. We do appreciate it. 45 years after this volcano erupted, some other problems are still occurring, and we'll talk more about that straight ahead. 714, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel will be joining us coming up in about 10 minutes. Mount St. Helens, hard to believe, 45 years ago, erupted back in 1980.
Oh, geez.
Washington State. I remember it vividly because I had a close friend in high school. Her brother was 10 years older than us, and he happened to live in that area when Mount St. Helens erupted, and then he brought her back some of the volcanic ash after the fact.
I want to say my grandparents did that for us kids.
That's cool. They probably sell it like in tourist probably, shops or something like that.
I don't know. I think my grandpa just went up to the mountain and said, I'll just go get it myself. I'm going to spend $10 on that.
I hope people were paying $5 for a pet rock. Yeah, my dad would think you have rocks in your head if you do that. However, it's hard to believe 45 years after the fact that volcanic ash that was deposited, you know, all over the mountainside or whatever, it's being kicked up now because of strong winds they're experiencing.
Oh, really?
It's even creating hazy conditions and reducing air quality.
How is that happening?
You think rain would have settled that over
45 years? How would that
years?
Happen now? Because, I mean, you would think, like you said, 45 years ago is when it erupted, and there was a bunch of ash and soot everywhere. And so I get that. But over the last 45 years...
Yeah.
We've had rains, we've had winds. I mean, why would it be kicking up now? Or is this something that is actually, when you look at it, it's actually a common occurrence and it happens like every year?
I don't know if it's a common occurrence because the U.S. Geological Survey calls it a phenomenon. So I would say that would not make it common.
Yeah.
But they do have a name for it called ash resuspension. Never heard of it before. It occurs when dry, loose ash is lifted back into the air by gusty winds.
You would have thought that this happens,
you know,
or has happened. It has happened more than just now, which I'm sure the article.
I've not heard of it.
I'm sure the article probably doesn't say it, but it does. It seems as though it would be something that has happened, not regularly, but it's happened more than just once in the last 45 years. Because you think that there's probably plenty of wind out there, etc.
I'm reading on here, the phenomenon occasionally occurs during times of strong winds, dry, snow-free conditions in the Mount St. Helens area. So it has happened before.
Yeah.
But they say it's so bad, pilots are having trouble seeing. They're warning potential damage to aircraft and impact to human health. That's how bad this is.
Sounds like some smoke from up north. Just saying.
Kinda, right? Except it's ash, not smoke, but weird. I would never, you know, over four decades later.
I would have not really guessed that that was an issue happening now. You would have thought that based on the time that since it erupted, that this would have been something that would have happened at some point in time, maybe in the first couple of years after.
Yeah, right.
Now, I understand if you get enough snowfall and it's covered, it's not going to blow around, but you would think that
all
it's rain over
45 years.
It's only September, so maybe it's drier up there and
they said it's
around.
Been really, really dry.
So maybe that's part of the reason, because normally is Mount St. Helens in Washington State.
Yep.
Yeah, so I mean normally it's fairly rainy up there, so you wouldn't think that it would.
They're in drought. Happen. Facing severe drought conditions right now.
I just would have thought, like you said, with the rain, snow, et cetera, over the years, that would have been kind of washed away and settled in different spots. Maybe it would have ended up in the bottom of creek beds and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And I can see pictures. I don't know if you looked at the pictures.
I did
not
look at the pictures, no.
And that's what it looks like. It looks like when we've had really bad days with Canadian wildfire smoke, the ash that's getting blown around kind of looks like that, very similar to it. People must be worried about it or whatever, because the National Weather Service even posted on X that Mount St. Helens is not erupting. Volcanic ash from the 1980s is being lofted back into the air from strong winds. They say the volcano alert level at Mount St. Helens is normal or code green. I suppose, you know, you start seeing that and you start getting worried, like, is there going to be another eruption? Because that was a bad volcanic eruption.
Yeah, it was. And that was major news back then, to say the least. I mean, I think that was the one that they like would show the graphic, and it was like half the mountain was blown off in the explosion.
I want to Google it real quick here. I would imagine there were people that were killed and injured. I don't remember off the top of my head, but Mount St. Helens eruption. What did I say? 1980. Eruption. I would imagine there were people hurt or killed in there.
Yeah, well, there was.
Like, how many, though?
57
people killed.
Was that all?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were some of them, and they were, like, the type, they're like, it's gonna erupt, and then, like, people are like, nope, this is where I live, I'm not leaving the mountain, and I think there were some, like, elderly couples or something like that perished in the eruption.
Most deaths caused by asphyxiation from hot ash and gases. Others were due to trauma from the blast, as well as vehicle accidents and heart attacks. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. 1980 eruption of Mount St. Helens. It is 720, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, conservation technology tool. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel will have details on that straight ahead.
722, we head out to the farm to talk with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. How you doing this morning, Bridget?
Doing well now. Chocolate lovers everywhere. Gather
Go on.
I thought that might be something you were concerned about. All right, Nestle is finding a way to bring new value to something they've already been doing. Now, we know them as one of the oldest chocolatiers in the world. Back in 2019, they brought out a patented technique that sweetens chocolate with the creamy, natural, sugary pulp that surrounds their beans inside a cocoa pod instead of adding in more sugar.
Oh.
So they were, instead of tossing that pulp aside after fermentation, they dry it, mill it, turn it into a fine ingredient, and it completely replace conventional sugar, but it preserves that snap and melt the chocolate lovers like.
That's interesting. Replace, you said. So
yes.
Wow.
Now, there's a difference, though, in which type of chocolate. They're doing it in the 70% dark chocolates, not in things like milk chocolate, etc. Okay.
Because they're not overly sweet to begin with.
Absolutely.
Or so bitter.
and they rolled it out in Japan, where their flavor profile is less sweet than ours. You know,
they don't know what they're missing.
Well, the U.S. is a big milk chocolate fan. We like sweeter sweets, so to speak. But when you think about some of the other areas of the globe, they truly want something that's less sweet but still satisfying. And this offers an opportunity not just for Nestle to use more of an item they already have, the natural cocoa bean, but it can also be a bit more of a profit margin for farmers who are raising a quality product, and more of the product is used instead of tossed out as waste.
Yeah.
So, just an interesting discussion. And as you travel around the world like Bonnie does, maybe you will see.
Bonnie, I'm a
Scotty
world traveler.
Not anymore. I'm staying in Minnesota.
Oh, we've already got the game set up for where in the world is Bonnie Amasati.
Does she get a cool striped shirt?
No, that's Where's Waldo.
Oh, same thing, right?
No.
He had Carmen Sandiego on his mind, I think. Where in the world is Carmen
Bonnie
Amistadi?
Yep, there you go.
Now, it's become fall. It's time to think about what we're going to be doing for harvest, and especially after we had so much bin storage that was destroyed over our summer months. If you have some older bins that you think, I'm going to have to put these back into use this year, time to make sure that they are well inspected before you're out there with the combine, etc. So look at the foundations. Inspect that for cracks, uneven settlement. Is it sealed tightly to the bottom? Are the anchor bolts and plates, are they bent, broken, missing? What do we have to replace? Make sure that the sidewalls are in sturdy condition, not rusted out, or any cracks in the caulking, etc. The roof, you actually need to go inside. An empty bin, please. Let's all be careful out there. And look at the inside to see if the roof sheets have any damage to them, if they're bent in any way, or if there are some missing sheets, anything that has to be taken care of. And then if you have fans on them, look at those junction boxes, your hoses, your controls. Is there any conduit damage on wiring? Interestingly enough, and I'm not sure how many people realize this, a lot of electrical wire coating uses a soybean oil, which makes it a tasty treat for mice. That's why they will chew on certain wiring more than others.
Little buggers.
I got another name for them, but the FCC says not using that on air. So check out those cords and connections, because that will make a difference when it comes to those critters as well. They can be quite a problem when you want to go ahead and start putting grain back in a bin you haven't used in a while. And lastly, for those who are looking at conservation incentive programs, it can be a lot of work and overwhelming. There's well over 500 different programs and service providers just in the Midwest. But the Conservation Technology Information Center, CTIC, has built a new tool called Connector.ag, and it has no cost for farmers, ranchers, and farm advisors, and it helps you sort through this. You can find summaries, who your contact information, rather than going to four or five different government offices trying to figure out via dozens of websites what do you need, what should you be looking for, does this program work for you? You can do it in just one place. And again, that's called connector.ag, and it is put out by the Conservation Technology Information Center. If you're concerned that maybe I should be thinking about this, maybe instead of trying to filter through all this information on my own, and especially if you might farm in a couple different states, like North Dakota to Minnesota, this could be an easier way for you to find out what you're looking for.
Work smarter, not harder.
Wouldn't it be, though? Yes.
Bridget, when you talked about grain bins and inspecting them, et cetera, as we get ready to start harvest season, and some people are already probably underway harvesting in different parts of the states here, do we have a week or a month or anything like that where we really focus on safety around the farm? Not just, you know, my big fear of PTOs, et cetera, and augers, but about grain bin safety? Because every year we have at least, I don't know how many, but there's usually at least one or two bin entrapment stories where you've got someone trying to get something unplugged, they're doing something, they get sucked down into that grain, and we have a whole issue where we need emergency services to come and help get somebody out. So do we have a week or a time period that we're focused on that grain bin safety?
We do a couple of different things. One, there is a farm safety week coming up, and I believe it's even next week. I've got to go double check. I just read something about this, but when you have a hairdryer to your head and only one contact in, you maybe not get the best information fast.
Well,
so I'll double check that. But yeah, I believe there's one that's next week. We also have National Ag Week, where we focus on farm safety, and that'll be in March of each year. And I even think there's a whole grain bin safety week that Nationwide Insurance puts on for folks, because once again, we want to avoid those bin entrapments.
Yep.
I did see that there are a couple of cool fundraisers this year. The Farm for Profit folks, and Maya Cornheads is doing a fundraiser to bring in more dollars that can be used to get the rescue tubes to local fire departments. And they're doing that down in Iowa. Mm. And those rescue tubes help to take the pressure off the victim, help to ensure the safety of those working around the bin as well, so that you can get that extraction process done smoothly, safely, with less harm to anybody who's involved. So I think if you have questions about using any of those tubes, check those out online, especially through the Nationwide Insurance website. But by all means, we want to make sure we emphasize those everywhere. Those weeks, they're important to all of us.
Yeah, absolutely are.
And they're coming. Today for Weather and Ag in Focus, well, it will be the farm girl version of a live chat on agriculture. I'm joined by the professional ag ladies. I'll be joined by Sarah Levis and Marcia Van Leer. And we are going to talk about several topics that are going on right now, ag-wise, and just to kind of share our thoughts and opinions. The fun part is we're probably less filtered than we should be, and we'll enjoy the day together.
Sounds like fun.
All right. Well, let's say Dean might get nervous, but I try my best.
He's fine.
Yeah. I've now resorted to giving him a cowbell, so when we talk about things and he says, what? He can just ring the bell.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll talk about stuff like that.
You'll make a farm boy out of him yet.
We'll see what can happen, but I'd watch out. I just saw a picture of him wearing that.
I saw that.
That Speedo thing in the building. So best of luck. I'm not coming until later. Okay.
Good choice.
Thanks. You guys have a great day.
You too. Bye, Bridget. It is 7:30. 7:33, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, who also doubles as an underwear model, now joining us in the studio.
Did you like those pictures that we posted on? Well, the Alex posted online.
Were they for my eyes only or everybody's eyes?
Everybody.
Everybody's eyes, yes.
Spread the wealth, right?
That's somebody sent you those in the mail when I was gone, apparently?
I still want to know. So one of our listeners sent me a pair of Speedos because we always joke about it.
Yeah.
And I want to know who because I want to thank you. They're awesome. So I modeled them.
Yes,
now,
you did.
Now, we had one listener say, you know, he should model those with that tight pink Vikings shirt that he had to wear with all the sequins. Now, that would be a sight to see. Not so much.
Not so much.
Oh, come on, man.
Well, they're very apropos. Showers are possible.
Showers are possible. Yes,
some thunder,
they are.
Some the underwear say.
Some thunder may as well happen.
Well, we do have some showers in the forecast. Not for today. If you have outdoor plans today, you should be good. Now, right now we're seeing some showers from about Vishek through Bismarck and points north of there. And that's where the main rain band is going to stay from the extreme southeastern part of the state. Let's say Wahpeton through Bismarck. As we head into the afternoon. So the far southern valley could see some light showers this afternoon, but the rest of us should remain dry. We'll see an increase in clouds, though, with highs in the, well, depending where you're at, in the far southern valley, probably low to mid-70s, and then upper 70s for the rest of us with a north-northeast wind at about 10 to 15. Now, showers overspread the entire area tonight with lows around 60. The far northern valley, northwest Minnesota, is going to escape a lot of this rain tonight. But by Thursday and Friday, that starts to creep further north. We'll see scattered showers Thursday and Friday with highs upper 60s to near 70. The rain should push east by Saturday afternoon. So for Westfest, for the concert Saturday evening, that looks okay. For the parade on Saturday, it looks maybe a few leftover showers, but I think most of them will be pulling eastward. And then Sunday, we'll finally see the sun return with highs back into the mid-70s. Now, rainfall across the entire area. There's going to be a widespread rain event. Up to an inch is a very good likelihood across all of the area. Some areas need it. Some areas don't. I know we need it here directly in the FM area. It's been a very dry month, but there's a lot of areas surrounding us that really don't need anything. Hey, be glad you're not in, and I'm going to try and get some pictures up on social media later today. In Nebraska, McCook, I've never seen this before. McCook, Nebraska, there was a severe thunderstorm. That's in the southwestern part of Nebraska. There was a severe thunderstorm that was parked over the area for half hour to an hour, dropping tennis ball size hail. The storm didn't move. Tennis ball size hail and 10 inches of rain.
Wow.
I can't imagine the damage to vehicles, to houses on that. Always remember, things could be worse.
That is true.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Dino.
You bet.
Weather this hour brought to you by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated since 1979. They have three convenient locations. You do not need an appointment. Swing on in Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy. 7:37, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. Dean's back with your three-degree guarantee. And then right around 7:45, Brian Kronk, managing partner of Collins & Kronk, joins us with a market update and insight. Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports.
Minnesota Vikings placing their starting running back Aaron Jones on the injured reserve list, so he'll miss at least the next 4 weeks, meaning he will not be participating at all when the Vikings head to Europe in a week from now. It's a hamstring injury, so hopefully sooner than later they're going to back out onto the field. But this comes only a day after the Vikings announced that J.J. McCarthy officially will miss week three due to that high ankle sprain. In corresponding moves, the Vikings bring in free agent quarterback Desmond Ridder and running back Cam Akers to replace both Jones and McCarthy for the time being. Minnesota will host the Cincinnati Bengals, as you'll have Carson Wentz getting the start on Sunday at noon. Coverage available for that one on CBS. High school volleyball last night, you saw in Minnesota, it was Park Christian edging out Fertile Beltrami in a five-setter, 15-12 in that fifth set. Lake Park Audubon falling to Climax Fisher, 15-4 in that fifth and final set. Holly defeated DGF in straight sets. Sauk Rapids Rice would sweep Detroit Lakes. West Fargo Cheyenne defeated Moorhead in straight sets. Central Cass swept Northern Cass. Kindred defeated Oak Grove in a four-setter. West Fargo High over West Fargo Horace in four sets. Shanley defeats Fargo South in four sets. Davies sweeps Grand Forks Central, and North downs Red River in four sets. Minnesota Twins starting pitcher Zebby Matthews struggled, giving up nine runs over three innings of work. He was tagged to the loss in a 10-9 loss to the Yankees last night. They now set up a rubber match this evening at 6:40 with Taj Bradley on the mound. And the Minnesota Lynx, they're going to try and complete the two-game sweep, I suppose, in this best-of-three series. Trying to figure out how to word that. The quarterfinals is a best-of-three in the WNBA postseason. Semifinals a best-of-five. The championship series will be a best-of-seven this year. But they're at Golden State, 9 p.m. on ESPN. The Lynx with a one-game-to-zero series lead in that one. Before theirs gets tipped off at 7 o'clock, you have the New York Liberty hosting the Phoenix Mercury at 7 o'clock. ESPN as well. New York with a one-game-to-zero lead in that one. And tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I will be joined by Fargo Force head coach Brett Skinner as we have our first of our weekly Force Coaches Conversations. We preview the 25-26 season, what we should expect as the regular season approaches. Sports This Hour brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
7:42, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has your 3-degree guarantee coming up next. And then Brian Kronk, Managing Partner of Collins & Kronk, joins us right around 7:45 with a market update and insight. And Brian Kronk joining us next. First of all, your 3-degree guarantee with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
Okay, I told you yesterday to bet the mortgage on it, right?
Yeah, you were getting
I guaranteed yesterday. Remember the day before I was a little iffy and ended up being wrong on Friday.
Yeah.
But I told you to bet your mortgage and the neighbor's mortgage. Did you do it?
No.
We don't. Now, see, you could have taken that money, invested it with Brian, and, you know, probably tripled your money.
Sound financial advice I'm not getting from you. I will listen to Brian. Okay. I will not listen to you.
All right. Well, I forecasted 86. We hit 86.
Yeah. Well, good job.
So, again, you could have been rich this morning, Bonnie, if you'd listened to me. I'm sure Brian's
also been in jail too. Yeah. If I listen to you.
No.
Every bookie on here is like, bookies, you've got a problem. You're betting on the weather.
It's okay. My bookies are well covered. Don't worry about it. We'll see an increase in clouds today. We'll see a few scattered showers developing to the south of the FM area in the far southern valley as we head through the afternoon. And today's 3-degree guarantee, 78 here in the FM area. And then again, we'll see scattered showers all the way through Friday night into Saturday morning. A good widespread 1 inch of rain expected across much of the area. So again, today's 3-degree guarantee, 78.
Brought to you by the Window and Door Store. What do you want?
I was just going to do that.
Okay, I'm doing it because we don't have any time. Brian Kronk, Managing Partner of Collins & Kronk, joins us next. 7:48, Brian Kronk, Managing Partner of Collins & Kronk, joins us in studio with a market update and insight. Of course, interest rates today, we're keeping a watch on that, expected to be cut by the Federal Reserve by 0.25%. Agree with that? Good news, bad news? What do you see?
Well, I agree with the idea that they're probably going to cut because I think he's been so backed into a corner, even though he doesn't want to cut. I think it's going to happen. I don't think we need it, though. You know, we've got a really strong economy and we're growing and GDP is up, and you heard Trump say it's a great economy and you heard Congress say that, and people are feeling pretty good. So if that's the case, why do we need to cut interest rates? The only sign I can see for that is we're starting to see a little bit of slowing on the consumer side, and we're starting to see a few more layoffs, and so the jobs market isn't bad. It's just weakening a little bit. So that would be the only sign. But you tell you what, on the flip side of that coin, the other side of that mandate is inflation isn't dead yet. So do you risk it? Do you cut? And it's not just today. Today, I think we're going to get 25 basis points, or basically 1/4 of 1%, because it's just so baked in. If we don't get that, the market is going to have a temper tantrum like you haven't seen in quite some time. But I think the market thinks we're going to get, you know, five of these rate cuts. And that's where I think we're going to get a temper tantrum at some point, no matter what.
What does the Federal Reserve Chair kind of look at in making that determination whether to cut or raise interest rates? Or you don't
We've
know.
All been trying to figure that out. Who knows what this guy is looking at? You know, forever when we would all go to the grocery store and we would see inflation all around us, he's like, yeah, I don't quite see what you guys are talking about. You know, maybe he needs to buy his own groceries. So I don't know what they're looking at from there. I know they say they're looking at the PPI, the producer price index. They're also looking at the personal consumption expenditure index. You know, so that's one of the things they look at from the inflation side. They're looking at the numbers out of the government on the job side. But there you got to really be careful too, because we had a 900,000 person revision. You know, we're talking, oh yeah, you know, give or take a million people got jobs, you know. So there's a lot of iffiness in some of those government numbers. I don't know if people aren't returning their surveys or what. So yeah, you really have to wonder, what are they doing for their research right now?
Brian, when it comes to the report that retail sales rose more than expected in August, is that a overall good sign for the market? I mean, obviously you're selling more stuff, people are consuming more products. What does that really say about the market, though? Is that something we really need to keep a close eye on, or is that something that just in general terms is a sign of a good economy?
You know, it's amazing to me. So you just heard me say the consumer is showing signs of slowing, mm-hmm. and then you throw that out, and that would be a sign that the consumer isn't slowing. They're out there buying stuff, and that's what we as American consumers do best. So the market is always sort of a leading indicator. So when the market is improving, that means, you know, a little bit later, you're going to see the economy improving. And same thing, we've seen a lot of the retailers over the last quarter now showing signs of life. You know, retailers that had been sort of left for dead after tariffs, things like Ulta Beauty or Best Buy are all of a sudden perking up again, and you're starting to see some action there as we go toward the holiday season. And now we got a consumer spending number that says, hey, they're in the stores buying. So again, that would say this economy is still strong. Why, oh, why are we cutting interest rates?
Well, and I also see here, just like close to home here on the North Dakota side, airline boardings are up. So yeah, it's not cheap to fly, right?
It is
so
not.
We must be having money to take those trips.
You're exactly right. And that's my bigger fear. You know, I think when the economy is doing fine, for them to lower rates now, you know, what are they going to do then when rates are already down and the economy does slow? They will have basically, you know, wasted all their ammunition, so to speak, and they won't have much more that they can do without kind of really getting in there and doing some things we don't like, which is financial engineering. So I think they'd be better off sitting pat and waiting until we actually have some trouble in the economy, and then they have some juice that they can actually add rather than wasting it right now, which just seems political to me. Trump wants this. He's put pressure on this. Looks like he's going to get it.
When we look at the market in general, and I always want to usually touch base with you every week when we talk about this, but
yeah,
it still seems, it seems like this past week was a really good week. But overall, obviously, as we continue into September, the markets keep trending upwards and keep setting new record highs. Is there any sign that that's going to slow in, I don't know, the next 6 months or 2 years? Because quite honestly, this bull market just continues to grow.
It is so amazing. You know, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I start to see little signs that, hey, it's going to slow. We've started to see signs of rotation. And I mean, how did you like this big correction we had? It lasted about 2 hours one day, and that was it. And those indicators that I was looking at, those are already gone. It's like we're right back to where we needed to be. Things look so healthy and we're headed upward. Yesterday, I participated on a conference call with some of our technical analysts, and they were talking about, you know, the 3 to 5 year bull market and making the technical case. In other words, just that, where is this strength coming from? And the idea that we have another 3 to 4 years at a minimum to go with this kind of strength, that we're just in the very beginning of this. I have not seen this powerful, this strong of a market in probably 27, 28 years. There's just nothing like it. And I think you maybe get one or two of these in your investment lifetime. And so I tell you what, I'm all in. And I think this is one of those markets that you do not want to miss out on.
Well, and we just continue to see it go up and up and up. And I mean, you see little blips of kind of it, not necessarily having any kind of down weeks, obviously, but you'll have a down day a little bit. But is that still just more of investors out there taking some of the profits and then reinvesting it into other things? Or what is the kind of the little daily up and down kind of segment there?
Well, and you're always going to have that. Imagine, I mean, so the market is a giant auction sale.
Mm-hmm.
So if you picture yourself standing out there next to the snack car with your little, you know, number, and they're putting up some tools, and you bid on it, and somebody else bids on it, and you go back and forth, and then that guy kind of backs down, whatever. That's what's going on in the market. And you get a little bit of bad news, and you get some good news. And then you got some guys in the back of the auction sale. They're buying stuff, and then just selling it immediately right out of the back of the trunk of their car. You know, those are the traders. And so that makes for a pretty lively market. We like it to be lively because we like liquidity. You know, unlike owning real estate or land or who knows what you have, you know, where it takes weeks or months to sell it, we can push a button and we can have you liquid in just a day. So it's really easy to sell. But because of that liquidity, you also get some of that volatility. But I tell you what, right now, those little ups and downs, they're at an all-time low. That's one of the indicators we watch is the VIX, the volatility index. And the volatility index is so low, it's almost bordering on complacency.
Mm.
And so that's one of those fears, is that, you know, we're due to get corrections. We're going to see some pullbacks. But if people get complacent, they're going to get whipsawed in those.
I know you always tell us, Brian, too, the sooner you can get into the market, the sooner you become an adult, get into the markets. Obviously, you're going to be able to retire sooner and maybe live a better life later in life if you invest sooner. But, you know, circumstances are different for everybody else. Say there's somebody listening now, maybe in their mid-40s. Is it too late? Can they still make it to retirement and hopefully have a comfortable retirement living?
Well, we'll see, you know, so it's never too late. So invest now. When's the best time to invest? As soon as you have the money. And guess what? You have the money right now. You're just spending it on other things, mm-hmm. right? So we all have the money from the moment we got our first job, from the moment we've got our first birthday card with, you know, from grandma with a $10 bill in it. We can be investing. So that's not an excuse. People, get out there and invest if you haven't been. Will they make it to retirement is an entirely different question. And that's where the planning comes in. So we got to have a conversation. What does retirement look like for you? When do you think you want to retire? How much do you have put away so far? How aggressive or how conservative do you want to be? And then we can tell you how much more you need to invest, or if you're on track or not on track. That's what we do with the planning, is we answer those types of questions. Mm-hmm. And so we're happy to do that.
Because everybody's going to be different then about Absolutely. What they want. Right. So it depends if you want to retire to a Caribbean island, or if you just want to be able to pay off the house and spend time with the grandkids, right? Everything exactly. kind of varies, and it's up to the
on your debt. It depends on so many things. We've got people who have, you know, several million dollars who are struggling because their expenses are so high in retirement. Mm-hmm. We've got people who are less than $500,000 and they're doing great because they have absolutely no debt. They almost spend no money. I don't even know what they eat. But I tell you what, their account is still growing because it's growing faster than they're spending.
You know what the NBA players, I think it might have been Patrick Ewing back in the 90s said, we make a lot of money, but we spend a lot of money.
Right.
It was either him or Alonzo Mourning, one of the two Georgetown centers, said it. And it's kind of like,
so
you got to live within your means. So obviously that's going to why everybody's chance for a retirement plan is going to be different. And that's why they need to talk to you. And
Bingo.
Obviously, if you want to talk to yourself or one of your other fine employees, how do they get in touch with you guys?
Super easy. You can check us out on the net, collinsandcronk.com, or just give us a call. We're at 235-0119. Somebody on the team is ready to talk to you.
Excellent. We'll catch you next week, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet. Brian Cronk, managing partner of Collins and Cronk, joins us in studio right here on Bonnie and Friends every Wednesday right around 7:45. It's 7:58. We're going to be heading into the WDAY Radio News Center coming up next. 8:01, we are WDAY Fargo. 8:03, time now for a check on your forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
And we're already seeing the clouds increase here in the FM area, pulling in from the south as a storm system is going to slowly creep northward out of South Dakota into our area over the next 24 to 36 hours. We're currently in the upper 50s, and we'll make it into the mid to upper 70s. A little cooler to the south, where the cloud cover will be a little thicker. And we'll continue to see the clouds increase. A few scattered showers will pull in from the south as we head into late afternoon, with highs, again, upper 70s, north-northeast winds 10 to 15. Showers overspread the area tonight, lows around 60, and then scattered showers both Thursday and Friday, highs both days around 70. And those showers pull eastward on Saturday, leaving us with a better Sunday, with sun returning and highs around the mid-70s. So a couple of wet days Thursday and Friday. And again, some areas will start to see that rain late today. If you have outdoor plans, the first half of the day looks fine. But as we get towards late afternoon, that's when we'll start to see that rain pull in, at least in a light scattered fashion from the south.
All righty. Thank you, Dino. It is 8:05. If you are looking for your best night's sleep, Snooze Mattress Company of Fargo is your gateway to Snooze-topia. You can discover five key components to unlocking it: snooze dream mapping, identifying your sleep challenges, building your lifestyle snooze base, ensuring your spine is properly aligned, and perfecting your sleep environment.
You know, because if you don't snooze, you lose. Visit them at 5050 13th Avenue South in Fargo, proudly offering veterans and first responder discounts. Snooze Mattress Company, sleep perfected.
Oh, and speaking of first responders, yes. If you are a first responder or if you know somebody who is, and they
would
would love to go to the Lee Bryce concert at Shields Arena on September 27th, you can nominate them. Not only are we giving away a pair of tickets to that concert, also a meet and greet. And that's pretty rare. You don't have those too often anymore.
I love meat.
No, not that meat. Like a meet and greet. Shake his hand. Hang out with the band.
Give me 10 pounds of burger meat. I'd be happy with that.
Buy your own burger
meat. One lucky first responder will be selected. Thanks to Schmidt's Gems of Fargo, your diamond destination. Nominate or register online at our website, WDAYRadioNow.com. Scroll down about halfway down the page. Find the banner that says Lee Bryce Giveaway. The winner is going to be selected on September 24th, which is, a week away from today. And that concert, once again, is at Shields Arena on September 27th.
All right, coming up tomorrow morning, Flatland Music Flashback. We do that each and every morning right around 6:56. It's brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. Fargo-owned legend Bobby V makes Music Flashback tomorrow morning, as well as Gary Newman, Cars, Kiss, Garth Brooks, and so much more. Flatland Music Flashback, 6:56 tomorrow morning. 8:07, time for your national news from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty's in with your WDAY Radio Sports. 8:10, time to check out your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
The Minnesota Vikings down another starter as we enter Sunday afternoon's matchup against the Bengals. Is now running back Aaron Jones has hit the injured reserve list with a hamstring injury. This was announced the day after J.J. McCarthy was announced to be out with a high ankle sprain for week three. So Vikings and corresponding moves sign quarterback Desmond Ridder, running back Cam Akers replace Jones and McCarthy. You're going to have Carson Wentz under center for the Vikings on Sunday at noon against the Bengals in Minneapolis, with coverage available on CBS.
Is it that unusual to have this many injuries, or are other teams similarly banged up too?
I think it's a little unusual to have the number of injuries.
Especially after week two. We're not talking midway through the season or towards the end of the season.
Everybody ends up with a few, but to be down two starting offensive linemen, your starting running back, your starting quarterback, one receiver, that's suspension, that's completely his fault. But then to be down three or four defensive starters as well, and we've played two games, is a little bit unordinary, to say the least. So, high school volleyball last night, Fargo North down Grand Forks Red River in four sets. Davies swept Grand Forks Central. Shanley over South in a four-setter. West Fargo High defeated West Fargo Horace in four sets. Kindred taking down Oak Grove in four sets. Central Cass sweeping Northern Cass. West Fargo Cheyenne in straight sets over Moorhead High. In Minnesota, Sauk Rapids Rice over Detroit Lakes in straight sets. Holly defeated DGF in a sweep. Lake Park Audubon falls to Climax Fisher in a five-setter. And Park Christian wins the final two sets to edge out Fertile Beltrami in a five-set matchup. Minnesota Twins fall to the Yankees 10-9 on Tuesday night. Zebby Matthews struggling on the mound. Gave up nine runs over three innings, was tagged with a loss. James Outman and Ryan Fitzgerald did each hit home runs. Two-run shots, to be exact, in that one. Trevor Larnach with a solo home run, his 17th of the year. Twins and Yankees, a rubber match tonight at 6:40 with Taj Bradley on the mound. And the Minnesota Lynx are going to continue postseason play at Golden State tonight. 9 p.m. is the tip-off on ESPN. The Lynx lead that best-of-three series 1-0. And as we round out sports here this hour, we have tonight primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I joined by Brett Skinner, Fargo Force head coach, for our weekly Force Coaches Conversations that begin here this evening. We also have Spud Football at 6 p.m. on Friday night as they take on Wayzata with Larry Knutson on the call. Saturday afternoon, Cobber Football back from their bye week as they are at St. Olaf. 1 p.m. kickoff with Larry Knutson on the call for that one. Our sister station, The Flag. The rest of the week, we have high school football Friday night with number 2-ranked Shanley battling Minot at 7 p.m. And then Saturday afternoon, an 11 a.m. pregame and a noon kickoff as the Dragons take on the Wildcats of Wayne State. It's something pretty dang cool that we have. It just got put up on the website here. It goes up at 8 a.m. every Wednesday. Our third Drop Coffee Coach's Corner podcast with Cobber football head coach Terry Horan, Spud football head coach Kevin Feeney. Each week that podcast is up on the website, WDAYRadioNow.com, underneath the podcast tab or the sports tab. Thank you to our sponsors, Third Drop Coffee in Moorhead, Cambridge Foss Concrete, and Brady Service Center for making that possible. Our very own Greg Bird is the host of that podcast, getting great insight from the coaches each week. This week, talking a bit about with the Spuds coming off a tough loss and returning home and how you approach that week, quarterback play, and then, of course, the Cobbers coming back off their bye week as well. Going to be it's a really, really entertaining podcast, about 30 minutes each week, and you can listen to it at your convenience, which is the best part about it.
And Greg does a nice job, so mm-hmm. very good. Down in Gwinner, North Dakota, people are pretty upset. They have a cemetery down there where somebody, mm-hmm. more than one somebody, because it would
have to be, yeah.
Yeah, they've stolen a 600-pound bell from a cemetery, Whitestone Cemetery, northeast of Gwinner. Would have taken several, because there's a fence around it, too, so they figure yeah. it would have had to been carried out, not like, you know, there's no tire tracks or anything like that. The fence wasn't damaged, so... Sargent County Sheriff Travis Paper says the bell was reported missing over the weekend by the cemetery's groundskeeper. He did see it over Labor Day weekend, but since then it has disappeared. And yeah, the sheriff saying it had to be more than one yeah. person.
I mean, there's no way. I mean, it had to be somebody.
A group of people.
Likely. At least two, and maybe some type of winch or something like that. Yeah. I mean, 600 pounds. I mean, yeah, two people more than me not going to be able to lift it.
I think they physically had to carry it out. Like, from what I saw, a TV report on that last night, too. I think WDAY television had mm-hmm. a report, too, where there was a fence surrounding it. So probably maybe even four or five people to hoist that
yeah,
over and
definitely.
Remove it. So if you know anything about the theft of that that large bell... that was taken and stolen from mm-hmm. Whitestone Cemetery, northeast of Gwinner. Give the Sargent County Sheriff a call on that. It goes back, I think it's been at the cemetery like since 1912, I think,
Is
if I remember
really
from
that,
that WDAY
wow.
television report. Yeah, it belonged to a church that opened in the late 1800s, and the church closed, like, I don't know, in the mid-60s maybe, something yeah. like that. And then they donated it to the cemetery, so they sure would like to get that back, and hopefully... they get it back undamaged.
Yeah, you would like that because, you know, a great big bell like that. I mean, we've had, you know, those type of bells in my hometown where I think one of them that used to be on the school, they put in the in this cement kind of display out in front of the school, which underneath it, that's where our time capsule is from like the 1980s or whatever. I'm not sure when they are planning on maybe opening that. Maybe they'll do that at the 50-year anniversary, which I think they might have put it together like in 1983, which was our town centennial. So maybe in, what would that be, 2033, maybe they'll open it at that point in time. I'm not sure. But there was one there. There used to be one at my church I grew up in had a bell that they would ring after church services or whatever. So sometimes there's a lot of sentimental value to something like that. And for someone to steal
from a cemetery
it, yeah.
or steal from a church, it's just, yep. I mean, stealing in general, you know, but
obviously.
I mean, the worst of the worst when you see people stealing yep. stuff from churches and cemeteries mm-hmm. just kind of shake my head. So if you...
Yep.
you happen to see a bell, you know, you're out on a rural route or something, you're driving around, it's a large bell that, you know, perhaps they mm-hmm. stole it and cast it off somewhere.
Sure,
keep your
yeah.
eyes open for that as well. But 600-pound bell missing from down in Sargent County, North Dakota. I see Big Iron mm-hmm. drew 78,000 people this year's Big Iron. They say that was a record crowd, Red River Valley Fair yeah. Association announcing that record attendance. There's a little girl that wandered away from her family farmstead in southeastern Minnesota the other day into a cornfield, two-year-old girl.
Aww.
Wouldn't you just, like, as a parent, your heart would just drop?
Yeah.
They did find her. She's okay. And thank goodness for technology.
The yep.
sheriff's office sent up drones to help locate, mm-hmm. you know, dogs and drones to help locate the little girl. Looks like found her within about an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's always good that they're able to do that so quick. I mean, but yeah, the panic you have even on those times when you as a parent, your kids either wander off at the store or something like that,
yeah.
it kind of gives you a panic. I still remember the time we went to visit family down in Georgia, and the girls were little, and I don't remember if Jaden was kindergarten age or younger or what, but we were on the beach. And so this was before Sandy's mother passed away. So we went there that March or whatever, and we're at the beach. And of course, you're worried about the kids getting into the water, especially my girls not having had swimming lessons at that time or anything. And you worry about them, you know, maybe there's an undertow or something like that. Well, for some reason, I don't know if Jaden didn't see us and thought, you know, she was got turned around because the beach is this great big sandy area, which we're not usually familiar with up here. And she turned and ran the opposite away from us. And so she starts taking off.
She got scared, yeah.
She took off jogging down the beach. And, I mean, I don't think she was particularly scared at that point in time, but she was going in the wrong direction, away from us instead of towards us. And so I remember having to jog and chase after her and be like, where are you going? You know, I mean, and just the vision of seeing my little one just taking off, jogging the wrong direction. You never know what could happen at any point in time. So
Well, you lose sight of them for just a second or two. That's scary. But the good news is, two-year-old found she was about a third of a mile away from home in the cornfield. And thanks to, like I said, technology with the drones as well as the police dogs, they were able to find her. 12 and 13-year-old children should know better. I don't even want to say what I would do to my kids if they were caught doing this. Two Florida boys, 12 and 13, accused of causing $50,000 in damage to their school library, broke into the school, facing burglary, trespassing charges, criminal mischief, and more. That'd be $25,000. I'm sure, you know, they're going to have to pay this off. $25,000 for your family.
Something, yeah. You're going to have to find. It's either going to be you're just going to be tagged to your insurance or something, which causes insurance rates to go up. So you're going to find some way you'll end up getting stuck paying for it.
Just trash the library. I mean, they threw, like, I don't know, tables and chairs and bookshelves are all over the place. I see computers. All sorts of stuff in the picture that I'm looking at here, but $50,000 in damage.
That is crazy.
Broke furniture. A glass door was shattered. Suspects, like I said, they're 12 and 13. The sheriff's office released photos of them, asked for the public's help in identifying them. The boys' mothers, good for them.
Yeah.
Turned themselves,
good.
Turned them in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what kind of lesson do you teach there? How did how does your kid make up $25,000?
Got to get a job.
They're going to be mowing a lot of lawns.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Good thing it's Florida and it's warm down there, and they, you know, don't have to deal with snow. Otherwise, you make them shovel. Yeah. But wow, did it? School must have been closed because it said they broke into the school during daytime hours. Returned later at the night to look at the damage and say, oh, well, let's do a little bit more. So they caused more damage at night. And I would imagine juvenile court here if they're only 12 and 13 years old.
They're very young. So, but, I mean, there's obviously the bulk of the responsibility is going to fall on the parents, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, that's just less than ideal, to say the least.
Yikes. Happened in Deltona, Florida. I see some guy who was hiking alone in Yellowstone, pretty lucky. He was attacked by a bear. This happened yesterday, it looks like.
Yeah.
Of course, they closed down the trail for now. They're trying to figure out, you know, what bear attacked this guy or whatever. He's 29 years old, but it sounds like he's going to be okay. He did have bear spray on him, so good. Anytime you're hiking in the wilderness like
that. How would he wear bear spray?
He had it on him, carrying it around.
Get it?
I mean, we had it when we went out to Yellowstone.
Of course,
it's expensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to say like $80 for a thing of it. It's bigger than like mace, but I mean, it'll save your life. But it's not cheap to get bear spray. I mean, it's just an insurance. Hopefully, if a bear comes at you, that it'll work. You never know.
Yeah, because sometimes, I mean, because quite honestly, I mean, it's similar kind of to pepper spray. And just knowing that based on getting into law enforcement, you basically have to get sprayed as part of your training, kind of to know what that is and what it feels like. There was a number of people that, you know, obviously for me, it definitely stung. I didn't like it. I wouldn't want to do it again, et cetera. But then there's other people that they get sprayed with and it didn't affect them at all. And you're just like,
are you even human?
Exactly. It was my friend Christina. I was like, what's the deal? You don't even, it didn't even bother your eyes? And like, no. You know, like, whatever.
Wow,
I'm over there rinsing.
Tougher than you.
Rinsing my eyes out for an hour in the shower.
Yeah. It sounded like park medics responded to the incident of this bear attack, walked out with the hiker, but they did fly him to a hospital. And they say The hiker thought the bear was a black bear, but park officials suspect it was a grizzly bear, considering how big it was, as well as its behavior. And they, I guess they have some, well, DNA probably from...
I would hope so.
I don't know if he got bit or
I don't want to be stereotyping bears.
It doesn't say, like, if he got bit or just, like, scratched or both. It just said serious injuries, but not life-threatening.
Yeah. You would hope it's not life-threatening.
And he just, they said it, based on the way the bear behaved, they think it just was, it got spooked by the guy who was hiking on his own. It was a surprise encounter.
Yeah.
So if they do figure out which bear it was, they don't intend on taking any management action, like dispatching, as they like to say. They're not going to put down the bear.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, Oftentimes they will do that, you know.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, the bear is just in the wrong place at the wrong time, just like the person. So, I mean, it's not really any kind of thing that you have to worry about that bear attacking other people. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of a random encounter. So
Yeah, it wasn't like people had been feeding it and then it got desensitized and used to humans or whatever. Just like he was out hiking by himself and just kind of... He probably scared each other. He scared the bear, and the bear scared him. But good news is, it sounds like the guy is going to be okay.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. 824, if you want to donate to Golden Drive Sock Drive, Golden Drive Homeless Kids, that is continuing through October 3rd. And then the Jay Thomas Show, Jay Thomas, and he'll have all the different law enforcement agencies lined up, and we'll be listening to his show on that day, and we'll find out how many socks were donated. Last year, 36,906 pairs of new socks were donated. Go to Golden Drive Homeless Kids. Check out their Facebook page for drop-off locations. It is 8:25. Time now to check in with the American Ag Network. 8:28 Coffee Club going to be coming up next. Janae and Jay Thomas have arrived in studio. You doing okay over there, Jay? You got one
of
more day left.
Of course he's doing okay.
No, I'm not.
Of course he's
Call
just
Jay,
fine.
Check in with him, people. Been a long 2 days with her or what?
Very long.
Whatevs.
Can I, can, I back out of, can I back out of Thursday and Friday? Or?
I would.
Well, we got into a little tiff yesterday, the three of us, about leaving the toilet seat up or down.
Oh, you're not a toilet seat lever upper, are you?
I'll leave it wherever it's at.
That drives me nuts.
I'll leave it wherever it's at.
Why? Are you another one that is your excuse I fall in?
Yes.
Why don't you turn the damn light on and take a look at the toilet?
Just put the seat down. Yeah, that's a big rule in my house, too.
Oh, good Lord.
Alex doesn't get after you on that?
No, we have a toilet seat that just automatically on his own.
Nice. You're fancy like that, aren't you?
No, it doesn't do that.
Diva.
Two divas doing the coffee club.
Whatever.
It'll change when I arrive tomorrow on the show, I'll tell you that much.
I'm excited. We haven't hung in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Mm-hmm.
It's been a long while.
Well, what are you going to torture him with today?
Clay County Sheriff Mark Emptin is joining us at 9 o'clock, a little after 9.
Is he coming in?
No, it's going to be over the phone.
Come on, Emptin, slacker.
Yeah, you should text him and tell him. I think you can make time to
right now.
Come into the studio. Well, he knows.
Did he say why he couldn't come in?
Mm-mm. He just like over the phone, and I'm like, yeah.
All right, I'll text.
He knows that you're with me today, though. So, and then we've got Mark joining us from the FM Legion Riders as well. Breakfasts are going to be kicking up here again really soon. Coral Laundry, we have Dirty Talk today. We do that every Wednesday.
Does it get spicy?
You have to listen to find out.
Okay, will do. All right, Jace, let's get out of here.
All right, you betcha.
Bonnie and friends, we'll be back 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. Have yourselves a great day. Stay tuned. The Coffee Club with Janae and Jay. That's going to be coming up next.